Hey! We should have been all freeze frame, like it's all. Oh, yeah. Welcome to episode 141 of the Crippled System Podcast.
Palindrome.
Holiday edition.
Christmas edition.
There are other holidays in the year.
Nope.
I'm pretty sure.
Because we'll have a New Year's Eve edition as well.
In theory.
Oh, yeah.
New Year's Eve edition.
Last week was our Hanukkah edition.
Our Hanukkah edition.
Yeah.
Furf was our Kwanzaa edition. You know, when Kwanzaa was on.
Because we all know.
So do we have any announcements? Wait, no. Hi, I'm Andy.
Yeah. You are.
I'm Brian.
I'm Jeremy, Value418 on the forums.
I'm Katie.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Brian.
You said that in a very sexy voice, Nathan.
Andy, happy birthday. I got your birthday present. Andy, happy birthday.
Is it a cat bug?
His birthday was a couple weeks ago.
It was a couple weeks ago.
What's in the box?
It feels partially fluffy.
We got Andy cake for his birthday because he's a diabetic and we love him.
I never got the cake.
Did you eat the brownies?
No, I never came by for the cake.
You came by for some of it, though.
I didn't have a slice of the cake. I had the cheesecake.
We got him a cake and we ate all of it.
We had multiple pastry options for our diabetic friend because we love you.
I'm not sure what this is yet.
It's a bag.
It's wrapped.
It's a bag in a bag. That's
fucking
meta.
A.
There's another bag.
Inception bag.
It's wrapping paper over a bag over, well, this isn't wrapping paper. This is just stuff to make sure it didn't break.
Yeah.
But it's still a wrapping job.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh-roh.
Oh, I know exactly what it is now. I just see the backside.
Well, that's because you can see it.
Yeah.
You know what it is.
If you don't know what it is, you're doing something wrong.
Oh, that's adorable. Is it a cookie jar?
It's a bank. It's a toothless bank.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, crap. I have to turn that off.
That is awesome.
And
he
can save up all of his money in his toothless bank.
I could put him right next to my Skeletor bank.
Mm-hmm. You could. Mm-hmm. That is actually
adorable.
If you
save up enough cash, then you can actually have quite a lot of dollars.
That was going to be your Christmas present. And like I said, that was the first Christmas present we bought because Raylene saw it in Walmart and said, we have to get that for Andy for Christmas.
So that's amazing.
But then I got a Christmas present for you, and so this became your birthday present.
Ta-da!
Yay.
Which is why you didn't get it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for
Toothless looks very angry if you look at the screen.
He does look very angry on the screen.
So do we have an announcement then?
Oh my god. Thank you, Nate.
Oshkosh is this weekend, so.
Oshkosh.
Go to Oshkosh. 35.2 list event.
Gosh.
It's 35 two-lists required.
Two lists required.
But you have to play them both?
I'm assuming it's going
to be DNC. If it's two-list required, you didn't have to play them both.
DNC zero.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
DNC something.
It is. Bring two lists you want to play. And then join me at Pete's. I want to flood their bar with everybody.
With War Machine people?
Yeah. Pete's Garage. It's full of Pete's.
Yep, it is.
Great. Like Pete and Pete?
That's where you keep
Pete. Pete.
Oh, Pete. Which one is your... I liked Pete.
Which one was your favorite, Katie?
Was it Pete or Pete?
But this is the Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Is it? Because he knows how to fly?
It's the same thing.
I know.
There's no difference at all. All
right, Mason. Yeah,
I think there's significant character difference in their personalities.
I would agree.
I got you something. This is a non...
Oh, fuck. I was going to bring the tree that you got me, and I was going to put it on the table for the Christmas thing.
Oh, that would be good.
This is a non-king game on my phone.
That's good.
That's her gift to you today.
That's my gift to you.
Okay.
A non-king game.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
It does.
So War Machine Tournament next weekend.
Yep. Saturday.
Are we going to have like a year-end edition of this podcast on next weekend? Because that would be last one that we could do.
Next weekend would be the last.
Yeah,
it would be.
Because the first is on Friday.
Here's an early announcement. At the end of this podcast, we're going to talk about Star Wars. So prepare yourself. And then if you haven't seen it when we get to there, be prepared to stop the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to say something. Yeah. We're going to say something like, Nathan, go away. We hate you. And that's the cue that it means we're going to talk about Star Wars.
You could also say, we're about to talk about Star Wars. That would be a handy cue to those.
I like my cue better.
Okay, that's fine.
I also have a visual cue that I'll put up on the.
Well, you have it on there already. There's no Star Wars spoilers now.
There are no spoilers right now.
Snape kills Voldemort. Wait.
Snape kills Vader.
Snape, that's what I meant to say.
Vader is Luke's dad.
Oh.
Star Wars spoiler.
Star Wars spoiler. Yeah.
Snape sort of kills Voldemort.
No.
Sort
of. If you don't count that he doesn't in no way, shape, or form.
He helps give information that was key to Harry.
Well, I suppose. Mean, that helps defeat him.
Many Boffins died to bring us this information.
I feel like if you just give credit to one person as opposed to the entire team that made that happen, then this is really short-sighted.
I'm giving credit to one person, and the one person is the one who killed the final Horcrux, so obviously all credit goes to Neville Longbottom.
Neville Longbottom. That's true.
Neville Longbottom, the true savior.
He is the hero of the story.
He is absolutely the hero of the story.
And there goes Andy through the...
Bye, Andy.
Bye.
Bye.
There needs to be one more thing.
We love you.
There needs to be one more thing, according to Andy.
Where are we putting one more thing in this room?
So we're going to be giving out some gifts now for a little while. It's going to be exciting.
We need to go first.
While we give out gifts, we can try thinking of another topic. Otherwise, this will be a 40-minute-long podcast, and 39 of it will be Star Wars.
That sounds like an amazing
podcast. Or you guys can just talk about Star Wars for an hour and a half.
That does sound amazing.
Hey, I love short podcasts. Whoa. All
right, you guys get to pick which one you want.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's a pick your poison.
It's a pick your poison kind of deal here.
One of them is going to be Jeremy's used underwear.
All right, three left.
Give me the one in Katie's hand.
I was going to take Katie left, but I'll take Katie right.
Okay. This is my left.
That's how that works.
Andy, you get the leaving.
My perspective is all screwed up.
Okay, so just to let everyone know.
Ryan's going crazy already.
I was going to say, just to let everyone know, there's going to be a lot of loud crinkling and stuff. If you want to see this, this should be on YouTube as well.
All right.
So
we're not banned from YouTube.
No, we're fine.
Unbanned.
Yay. Not even after our previous statement?
Oh, they say we're buffering really bad tonight, unfortunately.
Well,
sorry to hear that, folks.
Oh, well.
No, we're fine.
One of our listeners just said so.
Oh, I'm actually looking. We haven't lost any frames.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
You're watching us. You should know how badly we're buffering.
I'm not actually staring at the screen. I just have us up.
Oh, okay.
Did you see the thing my brother said about two episodes ago?
Which one?
He said that he thought that we got a new laugh track, but it was just you chuckling at your own jokes.
My jokes are hilarious, by the way.
Brian, you didn't get the one I was hoping that you'd get.
I was hoping you'd get a different one. Oh,
Nathan did.
Nathan got it.
Did I get the one that I'm the only person who wants it? Oh, Brian, you want to trade candies?
No. Sight unseen?
You want to trade for these mint M&Ms? I know those are your favorite.
Aha! Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I got the Fallout stuff in it, though.
Oh, my fucking God.
We all got all Fallout things.
Spoiler, for Christmas, I got everybody Fallout.
That's amazing.
That's
more Fallout.
We didn't get ourselves one, so now we
No touching. One. Put those back. You'll pick those later. God damn it, I should have went first.
We're so good at this game.
High five. There's such a cool idea.
I did it last year. I know. And I almost didn't do Fallout because the first place I went, there was only one Fallout one available, but they had a whole bunch of horror movie ones. So I almost did horror movie instead, and they had like a little pinhead and a little leather face.
Sure.
But then I'm like, no, fuck it. So I went on like a day long quest to find more Fallout ones.
Oh my goodness.
Assholes.
I still have mine from last year. He sits on my calculator.
Mine's on my computer. Mine's up on my fireplace.
Hopefully I got something horrible. Yeah, excellent.
Which one did you get?
We got Grim Reaper Sprint.
Grim Reaper Sprint, nice. I like Grim Reaper Sprint.
I don't play the game enough to know.
Mysterious Stranger.
Yeah. Mysterious.
He shows up when you go in Vats and he kills people.
That's true, he does.
And I got a ghoul!
Oh, nice.
I'm a ghoul. That's my ghoul impression. Hey, I go next. Fuckers.
I'm so happy.
Everybody pick a box.
I like this one.
We all got a box.
Surprise.
But now we'll be able to trade and stuff. True. We'll have a supply.
The audio of this is not going to be great at all.
It's going to be amazing.
The audio's fine. You bastards.
Okay, to be fair.
You know what's going to be awesome, Nate? When you see what my gift is.
Is it more Fallout?
Oh, yeah. I think I win.
No, it's not.
Oh, yeah,
a pair of mysterious strangers. A pair of mysterious strangers.
They are not so mysterious.
All right,
seems.
What do we got here?
I got Science Guy.
Ooh, nice.
Black Widow. Look at her with six arms.
Ooh, Black Widow's fun. Ooh, Action Boy.
Oh, yeah. Action Boy. Legit.
Oh, I got Nerd Rage. Badass.
What'd you get, Katie?
I don't know.
Nobody's got the Brotherhood of Steel. Oh, you got a Raider with the double mohawk.
That's also solid.
That was my favorite haircut when I played a girl in Fallout 3. That haircut is not available to me in Fallout 4. I probably need to find a magazine.
Which is interesting to Fallout because, you get so many. There's so many custom, like, tattoo things you find for characters. Huh?
Which one do you get?
I got the Action Boy.
Oh, what did you get the first time?
the Grim
Reaper. Oh, yeah, Grim Reaper's Grim Reaper,
which is pretty cool. A pair of Mysterious Strangers is actually
kind of actually awesome. Kind of awesome.
It is. If They're Andy gonna... actually bought those for us, I hope you get a third one. And you just you'll have like a doo-wop group.
I unfortunately did not. I was teasing.
Well, that was amazing.
It would have been great so if we accidentally got each other that.
I'll just go with some random suit here. Whose name is that? This is for Jeremy.
Hooray.
I wrapped him in cardboard.
It's hot. It's quality wrapping.
Oh, smell that chocolate and mint mixed together.
This is Nathan's. It's heavy. Oh, yeah. Show the book. It's
good. I got the little kid's first big book of the world.
Okay, that's pretty good.
So you can learn your...
continents there are.
Yeah.
It tells you. These are customized gifts for the person. This is for Nathan.
Oh, Australia is a country and a continent in one. The blue-winged kookaburra is the picture.
Kookaburra says,
"Hey, you're gonna, you know, you're actually gonna learn from this book."
I've learned so many things.
That's the amazing thing is this is actually
this is Africa.
This is what Africa. Did you guys know this is what Africa looks like? That's Africa. Go figure. Sorry.
Yeah, you are set now with.
I'm gonna be here over here learning.
We're gonna quiz you later.
This podcast.
All right, so Nathan has a box. Who else has a box?
This box goes to
Katie's box.
Hey, I don't need your shit anymore, Jeremy.
What shit is that?
I don't need your fucking Night Angel trilogy because I got Brett Weaver's Night Angel complete nice. Trilogy as a Christmas present.
Nice.
So Brian's gift to himself is that I will participate in the podcast.
Well, I bought it as a big box because I felt that was kind of obnoxious because I don't know if you like big boxes, so I wanted to make sure. I got Katie.
Katie got Elf.
Elf.
Because she was telling him how she didn't want to watch it.
What? She's not seen Elf, and I got Andy this year's box.
No.
Elf is legitimately good. Okay.
Yeah. I may or may not watch it.
You should. Elf is legitimately good.
You would like
good.
It. You like? It's got your favorite song in it. It's sung very, very well.
Yeah.
This is for Kerr. Kerr has two presents in this box because he's new to the podcast.
Oh, there man. I feel so special.
You are.
Oh, wait.
Oh, man. Question.
Well, I'll reveal mine.
There are parent tips in this
Yeah,
book.
Baby.
And he
got
tips?
A cat bug, pop cat thing.
Games
that
can't
he's angry.
Oh, looking. this is the.
Is it like evil cat bug?
Oh, man, no, it's the. Best thing ever. I can't remember the name of it. It's not. It's cat bug, but
it's
I think
it's the name of it. It's in the front and bottom.
Well, it just says cat bug.
I thought it's adventure cat bug or something.
Yeah, okay. It's his away team cat bug. Cat bug's away team.
I have an adventure here to watch animals like a scientist.
Yeah.
What I do have some minion tattoos.
Nice.
Well, because he's the tattoo guy.
Right? He's the tattoo guy. That's true.
And minions.
And then, ooh, just to make like sure that I stay occupied,
you're also the painter.
I also have the minion activity fun case with stickers.
Yeah, and
nice.
Paints.
Are you a big minion?
Now you're next set of things.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Got, like, all sorts of kind of crazy
well,
things.
Well, Brian is a fan of the minions.
I don't know.
I love minions so much. I got cancer from opening this box.
That was the goal.
Hooray!
I just like I felt I'm just glad that I found many things that were both for painting and tattoo. I thought it was
that
too
is kind of amazing.
I was like I got accepted by both.
Did you guys know that Angkor Wat in Cambodia was originally a Hindu temple?
What is
its
this?
Name means city of temples.
I don't know. Uh-oh. We did know that from playing Civilization.
Oh, that appears to be about the same size.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
I tried to be kind of thoughtful.
Here, I'll rest.
But that was your first mistake.
Yeah, that was a terrible
idea. This is my first rodeo.
This is also wrapped presents, too.
Know, yeah.
Hey, ours were wrapped.
Gift box.
Ooh. Gift box, too.
Mine's booze.
And wrapped.
Yeah, they were wrapped in
the gift box.
I have a light of Godzilla.
Did you work together with Brian?
No, it was just by fate.
Just by fate. I get an Impossible Bear as well. With what?
A gas-powered stick.
With a gas-powered stick.
You know what the best thing about a gas-powered stick is, Andy?
Never runs out of gas.
Never runs out of gas.
I got a mermaid bottle opener. We'll put it there with my book. And spirit shot glasses. High quality glassware and dishwasher safe.
Yeah, when I was at your place yesterday, your shot glasses seemed a little
dated. Shot glasses are well, like I just never really bothered to like buy nice shot glasses because
well, now you've got them and now you have a
now I have nice shot glasses.
It's just a goddamn
and
another bottle opener.
Oh my gosh, nice. Your bottle
with
glows.
Light and sound.
Oh my goodness.
What?
I'm so
her bottle has an LED light up display on the front of it.
It has an on button.
And you can change the message. You can download an app on your phone to type in a new message.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I was going to do the I love you one, but I thought it would be a little weird.
Show that to the camera.
Yeah, you got to show the camera, Katie.
I figured you like vodka enough, so now you can have a conversation with it.
It's a ready. Like
you can talk with your vodka.
That
he
is.
Already talks to your vodka. I got bamboo puzzles.
Nice.
Yeah, I was kind of flowing down the logic path. I was like, you're a logical person. You like analyzing things.
I like puzzles.
I'll go
so,
with.
I have a couple from them. And I keep it worked. They're fun to fit it with.
Here you go. I got mine.
I'm going to put this on the fly.
So mine correspond, except for two of them, sadly, correspond with what microphone color cord you have.
Oh, so I got a black one then?
No, you don't get black.
I get a green one.
No, you don't get green either.
So two of them don't correspond.
So you're getting blue when blue is to your left?
Yeah, Brian's blue.
Brian's
no.
Blue. So none
look
of
at,
oh, no.
Look yeah. at the paper inside.
Gotcha.
That is...
Who's this?
Yours?
This is me?
Yep.
Oh, it's not black.
Because I thought you were green.
I see. Katie's green.
I had to try to... I couldn't really plan it because I wasn't sure where everyone was going to sit. Well, that is hard. Obviously Nathan's.
Yeah, because he's red.
Oh, well, Brian,
be very careful. It's heavy.
Got it.
No, you oh can't my god, it is heavy.
Yeah, I told you.
This is Katie's.
Pink for Katie.
Jesus. Don't break
got it.
It.
There we
go. Fucking heavy.
And oh, like reach for it. There was nothing there to grab.
Andy got us bricks to start yes, a building.
Yep. There you go.
It's just bricks.
Huzzah.
Crinkle, 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 valued listeners.
They love the sun. They miss it. They always say, man.
Swedish fish. Ooh. I'll suck it. I win.
I got chewy warheads.
I got cookie dough minis.
Ooh, those are also tasty.
Boom.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Oh, grenadine.
Grenadine for Brian.
It's a coming handy.
I got some amaretto. Andy knows me well.
I got some Long Island iced tea mix.
Andy knows you well as well.
I got more vodka.
Katie got double vodka.
Double vodka.
This is vanilla vodka,
ooh,
though.
Ooh, that's pretty legit.
Ooh, and some, nice, and some exciting bears, chocolates.
Yeah, I got you more chocolates because grenadine wasn't as much.
You can get vodka gummy bears. Uh-huh.
So I got the Swedish shift for Jeremy because Swedish Muslim Jeremy.
Swedish Muslim Jeremy, which yeah. we do all miss.
I got Katie the gummy bears because I expected Katie to make vodka gummy bears. I figured Nathan would be drinking the Long Island iced tea mix while he's playing Fallout, so that's why I got Warheads.
There you go.
Awesome.
And then I just got Kraken and then Charleston Chew for Brian because I couldn't think of anything else.
That's all right. Charleston Chews are really legit, and so is Kraken.
And they're endorsed by Nixon.
Well, that makes
nice Charleston Chew. The table's looking very crowded, by the way, on the screen.
So, yeah.
That's all right.
Crowded with
oh yeah,
love.
If you guys want to save it, I'll use them next year.
Oh no, very cool. I'm excited. I feel like I made out like gangbusters. I can sit with my figurine in front of me while I eat candy and take shots of amaretto while reading all about the world.
I do like that Katie got the only female Fallout character
possible
minifig. So.
That's sexist. Yes.
Well, Black Widow's got to be female, right?
Fuck you.
What is the man version of that perk called?
Lady Killer.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Is there anything on
the... Oh, my God. By the way, in Fallout 4, get Aqua Girl or Aqua Boy as soon as fucking possible, because that is a mandatory upgrade.
I don't know that it is, but it is an amazing perk.
Dude, 10 rads per second, like water just is pure radiation death, and it's so convenient just to be able to swim across a river instead of looking for a
not bridge. If you want the radiation heals you, though, because...
Yeah,
that is true.
Or
being able to swim underwater and explode. And explode, explore.
I can't just swim underwater the whole time, but I give zero fucks about radiation in a hazmat suit.
I just swim underwater all the whole time.
That works too.
By the way, when you get Spectacle Island, make sure that you have your provisioner be a ghoul, because if you have a human be your provisioner to go to and from Spectacle Island, they die.
Really?
Yeah, because they die of radiation trying to swim to the island.
I sent a provisioner to the McKinney Farmer or whatever it is that's way off in the water. That's probably real bad.
Yeah, it might be.
What do provisioners do differently than sailors?
They're the ones that link the trade routes. Oh. You do trade routes.
No!
Oh, are you loving?
I got somebody to trade me Fallout 4 for Black Ops 3.
That's legit.
You're gonna give him some?
So you're going to have Fallout 4
he's
soon.
Trading
I will. Probably Tuesday.
That's you'll probably stuff. Get...
That's just a clear upgrade, quite frankly.
Pretty much.
You'll probably get further than me.
Have you not gotten very far?
I ended up getting a bunch of painting projects to do right when I got Fallout 4.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
My problem is I just can't focus on the storyline because I'm too busy doing all the side quests.
If you don't want double Mysterious Stranger, I will trade you my ghoul.
If you want a Mysterious Stranger, you can do that. Don't feel obligated to trade because I have doubles.
I am equally happy with... Actually, the ghoul's pretty awesome. Yeah. No, you're Mysterious Stranger. Can I just take your Mysterious Stranger?
What? Oh, you want to switch?
Yeah.
I have a bunch of guns.
Mysterious Stranger is solid.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like the Nerd Trade one. That's fun. I might bring this one into work.
Well, yeah, obviously.
That makes sense.
Like, if it were any other Fallout one, I might not bring it in, but that one's kind of perfect for work.
Good. You got the right one.
It's covering almost all the aspects of cute for me.
None of us got none of us got the Brotherhood of Steel guy.
No, I think we must have missed a couple because there are 12 total.
Yeah, we didn't get the Super Mutant, we didn't get the Brotherhood of Steel guy, and we didn't get the Tunnel Snake.
I thought Tunnel they used snake. To tell you, like...
The guy in the black leather jacket with a little switchblade. He might not be a Tunnel Snake, but he sure looks like a Tunnel Snake.
Sure, sure.
When those first came out, they used to tell you, like, how likely you were to get one in a box.
The Fallout is an even 1 in 12. Don't have rare ones. It says on the box 1 in 12 chance of each of them.
Yeah, because I remember when they first came out, they had, like, their equivalent of, like, the shiny ones where it was, like, the translucent or glow-in-the-dark and... I was just like, man, this is gonna...
Mine was a rare one, my Mars Attacks one.
Yeah, you didn't get, like, one of the see-through ones that was, like, 1 in 100, but the Mars Attack, the Martian was, like, 1 in 64 or something.
Well, and I think the one of the first ones that came out was the one with all the different movie heroes or comic book heroes, and the real rare one, like, people were selling, I think, the Rocket Man for, like, $100 online.
The Rocketeer?
Yeah, the whatever his name, the dude with the helmet.
The Rocketeer.
Yeah, it's the Rocketeer.
Okay,
it's
I just know him as Rocketman.
God damn it.
It's a jackal.
Are you talking about the Rocketeer?
Sure.
Is it a jackal?
I'm talking about the Rocketeer then. The
movie's so good.
So does anyone else want a shot glass to just take some shots while we record?
I am out of commission for the day.
I just will put a straw in there.
Yeah, how'd you feel today?
I felt fine. I only had 3 beers while I was at your place. Like, I was fine. I just,
not
like,
a gallon.
Something, yeah, that was different. I went a little more conservative this time, but I don't know. I must have ate something today and just made me feel like shit. So, I'm living just fine. I thought somebody broke into my house while I was sleeping, but your vodka just rolled off my couch.
Oh, gosh. That would have been unfortunate.
I just got home and I was like, I'm going to put this here and sleep whatever this is off. And then I woke up and... Like, somehow the vodka bottle was standing straight up in the middle of the room, and I thought somebody came. I thought I heard somebody come in,
like
but
a ghost did it.
Yeah, so it was the ghost of Christmas vodka.
But it was a friendly ghost.
Everything, everything was intact and in one piece. So, nice.
Yeah, the only people that really got wrecked at the party last night, and it was nothing like 2 years ago, but the only people that got even mostly wrecked were Keith and Jim.
Well, it seemed like the blonde lady got lit pretty well, too.
Jordan? Or
Pfeiffer?
Jordan Pfeiffer was fairly inebriated.
No, the one with the glasses.
She was here early, left earlier.
Lori?
Was it Kayla, maybe?
Oh, Kayla was there.
She was there.
I think that Kayla left early.
I don't know. She came down to play Telestrations or Cat Poop with us.
Was that
and Kayla? she was straight lit.
Well, I know she was definitely drunk. Well, Kayla was here thinking of, she was definitely
speaking
drunk.
Speaking of Eat Poop You Cat, Telephone Pictionary being played, friggin' Jackie... Jackie ruined a magical thing.
What?
Because...
I thought it was Casey who did it.
Oh, you're right. It was Casey that ruined it. I'm sorry. Casey ruined a magical thing. Because the sentence I started with was, Genie, for my wish, I wish my dick had tits.
Okay.
Because I figured that would have some great joint. And Amanda drew it to the point where Brian got it exactly.
Wow.
Like,
that's
actually
impressive.
Like... Wishing for dick tits from a lamp, you know. Okay. So not the word for word, but correct thing.
Right thing, yeah.
And so then Jim drew a woman, but he got dick tits backwards because she had dicks. He had dicks for nipples hanging off of her tits. So then it went to Casey, who just wrote Christina Aguilera.
Well, I don't know that she ruined it. I feel like she, yeah.
Well, the point is then, of course, who the person who drew that, like, there were no dick tits. Like, the dick tits were gone from the equation. So they drew a singer, which then the last person wrote Lady Gaga. So they were kind of brought the dick tits back into it because that's a very Gaga thing to do, but just... Yeah. You had dick tits. He was right, Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, the game that always turns to penises, when you start with penises, went somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to, during the get, I think it was even that game of Telestrations, I got to zap Keith twice.
Nice.
First one was when I told you that I needed an MGD to wash down his shitty chocolate beer.
Like his $4 beer.
And Keith was like,
And then the other one was, my lead out was, I was trying to get some interesting things to happen in Telestration, so I decided to write a person eating a lollipop sloppily. And then by the time it got to Keith, we got to learn more about his childhood because it didn't go anywhere. It didn't diverge at all.
Child with lollipop. Yep. Child with lollipop.
Boom. And that was all it was. And then it gets to Keith and it was child with lollipop, ellipsis, all alone. And then it turned into a shunned person with a lollipop.
That's actually shunned the man with the lollipop. But yeah, why did he feel the need to add that he was
all alone? No, I don't want any more of those.
Well, you already had one, so I could get some
Better than that. She took them for free. It wasn't a trade. She just raided you. If somebody raids your territory and steals a bunch of crops, you don't think go back and go, want a trade this time? No, they just raid you.
Jeremy's bad business.
That's your wife now.
My settlement needs more defenses.
Jeremy the victim.
Yeah.
I am.
So anyway.
Well, anyway, it was a good party. I got to hear Keith and Jim argue fairly drunkenly about John Wick and its goodness or badness as a movie.
Angry to hear about
this. I'm where you are. That's why we wanted to share it with you.
So, like, I would take somebody disliking so many different movies. Like, it's just, John Wick is nearly flawless.
It's a solid.
Jim
movie.
Finds well, every moment of John Wick terrible.
I feel about that.
You know how you feel about it? Furious and depressed. And you know how you're supposed to feel? Furious and depressed. It's a very, very well-executed emotional hook.
It is. It's well done.
Like, the blood trail leading to John Wick when he wakes up is the most brutal and necessary thing I've seen in a film in recent years.
It was really well done. I thought it was a really good movie. I'm excited to see the second one. With him with the new dog all grown up.
Is that dog going to die too? Because I don't know.
We'll find out.
the
picture shows him with the dog alive, but...
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, well, there was a
all I saw was just... I assume it's going to be like the poster or whatever. It's just a picture of like a city street, and it's like John Wick and his dog, and the dog's big.
It's not just like a fan-made thing?
I don't think so.
It's a picture of Connery's walking the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's from the set of John Wick.
Yeah, maybe it's from the set, but it was... Yeah, it's definitely like a thing that happens.
You guys I would Chinese. Want spin-offs of all the other characters.
Do you guys eat Chinese often in Madison?
I do.
Do you go to Double Ten ever?
I have not been to Double
You should go there because it's the best Chinese place in Madison, better in my opinion.
BIP. Where did that come from? We're discussing something.
Trust me, it's going to move.
Oh, they serve dogs.
It's going to flow into it.
Yes.
The owner has a picture of her and Keanu Reeves in the restaurant, so I think that if Keanu Reeves approves, then
it must be.
It is the best place in Madison.
Where is Double Ten?
It's on University Avenue by... it's in a little mini mall. It looks really like a shitty, shady place, and you walk
like
in and
across from Hildo, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know like, that mini mall is.
Why don't they just call themselves 20?
I don't know what the deal is. I think Chinese restaurants are just oddly named because of translation issues. But
yeah.
When I went there, I was like, okay, well, it seems decent. And then like a ton of Chinese people started coming in to eat, so
and that's
I figured,
how you know.
Yeah,
that's a good sign. VIP often has Chinese people.
Well, I was telling Brian about Taqueria Guadalajara is the correct place to get Mexican in Madison.
I actually really like, what the hell is it actually called? Los Amelos. It's behind a little Mexican grocery store off of Odana. There's another one downtown, but I've heard it's not as good. But the one off Odana, literally you have to walk through a Mexican grocery store to get into the restaurant. It's the only way in, and it's legit.
Seems like
some,
a big deal.
Some Sunday we need to have... Early dinner / late lunch at Guadalajara on Park Street.
Well, we haven't had a podcast lunch in a while.
We haven't had a podcast lunch. We should do that.
So one of our users brought up a possible topic. It's short.
They did mention it. Yeah, go ahead.
One big thing that happened in the last couple weeks, I think it was the last week, Asmodee, who bought out Fantasy Flight a while ago, they changed their policy of the sell things. They've kind of gone the GW route in regards of they have banned online sales of their game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is causing kind of a bit of an online ruckus,
right?
And they also changed the rules that like distributors used to be able to buy games and then sell directly to customers, and cutting out the whole
retail.
And they kind of put the kibosh on that too. So people are like kind of like maddish at them because they want their stuff sold in stores because people play in stores. So it's kind of cool because I mean they own an insane chunk of the market. So if they say you can't sell their stuff on the market, that's a huge part of the board game world. That now can't be found on the internet.
Well, there aren't many good Fantasy Flight games, though, right, Brian?
Yeah. Well, but Asmodee and them, they own
between the two of those, a huge chunk of board gaming.
So blocking that from the internet is just an interesting thing that was kind of the big game related news.
Are they just wanting things to go through them?
They want things to go through retail stores. They want people to go into stores and buy stuff, which I can't frown upon that at all. I mean, I buy 95% of my board games in stores anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to buy things at Pegasus.
So,
because
but it does hurt people in like other countries sometimes. GW's big online thing hurt Australia and America because they didn't have good stores. So it's great if you have good stores.
But
it hurts those people who don't have the good stores to go to.
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like you kind of get into this weird, like, double-handed, we're doing it for the good of the people, but we're doing it for the good of us, too, because, like, selling directly from your own website, I don't know if Asmodee or Fantasy Flight does that, but when you do have a system like that, it's kind of dickish, because, like, there are a lot of people who, they're either not around a local game store, or their local game store is just so shit that they don't want to ever go there and give them money. So now they've either got to travel further or buy it directly from the seller, which I don't think is good either. I really don't have problems with online discount retailers. I think that they're a important part of the industry because a lot of game stores have this like entitled, they've kind of taken that entitled statement of buy local as more of a guilt trip instead of anything. So I will buy local if you're not garbage. Like
we're lucky that both game stores, well, there's more than two, but we're lucky that all the game stores in Madison are good stores.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't hate any of the store owners. They don't treat us like shit. Like,
no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's in that position.
Yeah, there's some, like one of the, some stores that I've frequented in the past, you know, I once had an item on back order for almost 6 months, and I just gave up and decided to buy it on my own. Some of them just don't keep like a clean shop. Like, I think that's another important thing to do. And
that's why I don't think it can help. But man, there are some stores. I mean, there are people who will go to Pegasus or Last Square or Misty every week and play games there with their friends
every week.
But they refuse to spend money because they can save an extra 1% online or 2%. They're like, why would I spend money locally when I can save money? Because I want to save money. And then the store closes. Like, why did the store close? I don't understand what happened.
Yeah, I want
to
be.
They'll be the same person to complain when that happens.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do agree. There are stores that are shit, and there are areas with no stores.
Mm-hmm. Some stores deserve to close.
Yeah,
you know, but.
It's a weird thing.
Well, and it depends where you live. Somebody made the comment about Australia. I think it was you made the comment about Australia. One of our listeners said the rural South is rough. Like, the rural South of the U.S. is just a rough place to try to find a game store. Mm-hmm. And they're not wrong. When I lived in Texas, man, it's dry down there.
It depends on where you're at, too. I mean, like, when I was at Fort Hood, we had a couple game stores.
Sure, but I did not. I was an hour north of
Houston. Well, I know Houston has some pretty shitty, terrible game stores. Asgard Games? I've heard terrible things of that place. Just trash.
Well, it's really only the people there that I hear.
Yeah. Hasn't closed down yet?
Yeah, I thought, yeah. Like, it was infested with rats stuff.
No, not rats. But I heard it expanded into a bar, too.
Yeah.
So, you just think about that.
I think you're just confused because the owners are crippling alcoholics.
That's probably going on.
I mean,
we were making up things. That was too real.
I mean, that was true. That is true. And they have a bar.
Do not want to run a bar as a crippling alcoholic.
The other thing,
it'd be a great few months.
The other thing that comes to mind when talking about these discount online retailers, like the big three, at least if you're in the War Machine community, is like Discount Games, Mini Market, and used to be Texas Toy Soldiers. All three of those online retailers are also physical locations too. So like when you look at their strategy of selling for online cheap, they're also selling in their store cheap
and
growing their own
local area.
Well, to be
fair, I know a place like Mini Market, they've had a physical store because they had to, and it was very sick. They have, I have no idea what this game, I have no idea what Discount Games has, but I know Miniature Market for a while had, or one of the big online's for a while, it might even be them, had a physical location because they had to by policy, but they
Games
had
Workshop
shit in their stores.
The Games Workshop is one of those that basically force you to have an
actual, so some of those,
brick and mortar place.
So some places might have a physical store, but really 90% is found online. You go into their store, there's shit there, and it's awful.
Well, I know like the big three that were there. I know Texas Toy Soldiers ended up moving from online and physical store sales to just physical store sales. So it kind of makes sure that they're like their heads in the right place as far as the morality of gaming. But I have a less of a problem with online retailers than I do for game developers or game companies deciding to move most of their sales in an online direction. Like with GW selling so many exclusives and ripping stuff off of production to where it can only be bought through them is just bullshit. And I think that if that's where like the industry evolves to eventually, I think that some of this like we want our games sold in stores only is kind of like the cover up of being shady later. But that's just me being really extreme and tinfoil hat about it.
Nobody else had any further comments, if that's what you're wondering.
Just curious.
Yeah, no. I mean, the guy from the rural South, but other than that, they were just like, they had some thoughts, but
Madison is a, we are in an anomaly. I mean, we have stores that actually respect each other and actually, as far as I understand, they do cooperate with each other if we're trying to schedule times for events. Well,
and like people, we have people come into town, mostly for War Machine tournaments, but even some of my other friends, and any one of the game stores in the greater Madison area would be like blow their mind in within a 30-minute drive of their house. Mm-hmm. And we have at least three that I know that I frequent, which is I'm Bored, Pegasus Games, and Misty Mountain. Like, I'm probably forgetting some, but like all three of those are amazing.
There's Netherworld downtown.
I don't know that one as well, so I can't say how amazing they are.
It is more of a magic store.
But the three I mentioned are all amazing. Like, they all have amazing board game selection, and less so at I'm Bored, but the other two both have great the War Machine selection and the other model selection, they'll really work with you at both Pegasus and Misty.
I think Misty is the least of the... Misty is the most stereotypical nerd game store looking of the three.
Yes.
But Pegasus and I'm Bored, especially I'm Bored, like, when you walk into I'm Bored, that's a place that looks like it could be inside of a mall.
Yep.
Yeah. And, like, random normal people could go in there and be like, oh, look, these are things, and look at me browse. Like, it's like, it's not like, you know, this nerd area with, like, our dirty Klavan.
It feels super family-friendly, which is hard for some of those game stores.
And he even puts all of his family-friendly stuff in the front. Yep. He really puts on the kids and the family stuff right in the beginning, so you're just entrenched in that the second you walk in the door. Yeah.
And I think it's a good idea. I think that more stores need stuff like that because, like, I understand they're probably not making a lot of money off of the family that comes in and buys one board game for the family a year for Christmas, but it's an important part of the community.
Well, and it's
offering those types of games is a big deal.
And just not being this weird thing. Like, you know, like, it's...
You don't want to feel dirty.
Like, you walk in I'm Bored, you're comfortable. It doesn't matter if you're a 90-year-old person who's never seen a board game in your life or a 16-year-old mega nerd who plays Magic every night or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's a clean,
well-organized
store.
Because I don't feel weird walking into Pegasus, but they're probably, like, compared to I'm Bored, Pegasus is probably more intimidating for a normal than I'm Bored is. Like, I'm Bored is super welcoming as a store.
To the extreme.
They really do. And I think they did a good job. I think it was intentional, and I'm glad they do that. And they still host events, and they still do all that kind of stuff that, like, I mean, not, they don't do War Machine, but, like, they do other types of events, like, weren't they big on, like,
every night? They have a thing. Every night's a certain event. They do
a really good job.
It's cool. Spoiled. So yeah, so it's interesting. It's an interesting because the internet's not going away. And buying it is like
what
you know. It is occasionally like, well, I'll look online. I'm like I got Pandemic online because it was just it was over half off, and I'm like, well, I'll buy this one game out of 50, but it was so cheap. I'll just do this one time, and then I'll
Well, the other thing is if you want to ship it to play somewhere, because like I bought a game for one of my friends, but she's down in Champaign, and it's like I'm not gonna go buy a game and then pay for shipping.
Yeah.
So if I go through Amazon, I just get the shipping for free.
Yep.
The interesting thing about the internet not going away, and this goes to non-gaming related, but it's just kind of a interesting conversation to me. Yeah, it's just porn. I love porn. Well, no,
I love porn.
Let's talk about that for a while. No, so
spoiler alert.
So Staples, Office Depot, and Office Max are the big three office supply stores. Okay, Office Depot bought Office Max almost 2 years ago now.
Yep.
Staples put in an offer to buy Office Depot like a year ago, and then, you know, they were waiting for approval, and it got shot down last week by the FTC because, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, wait, if all three of you are one company, it's a monopoly.
It's a monopoly,
obviously,
right?
It's a monopoly. But the interesting question that I've been posing to people is, this may not be true now, but with the way that the world is and the way that the internet works and everything, there could be a date, like, every physical store could be Walmart.
Sure.
Okay? And as long as Amazon exists, it's still not a monopoly, right?
Yeah.
Like, at some point, because of the size of the internet, it will be impossible to have a monopoly as a physical store.
Let's look at a niche where this has become a true, just a fact of life. Video game rent, or movie rentals.
Yeah.
So, like, in Madison, every movie rental place that wasn't Family Video is gone.
Correct.
It's one. I don't know if this is true across the country. Okay, well, that's a weird exception. But actual, like, stores.
Right.
All of them shut down that weren't Family Video. Family Video bought
it. It's true around the world.
And like, I visit other towns and I see the same thing. It's all Family Video. Like, they bought up a couple of locations that they liked from their competitors, let the rest go be something else, and it's just Family Video. I don't think they're a monopoly because, quite frankly, like, compared to Netflix and compared to these days Hulu and, like you said, like
Amazon Prime, or
Amazon Prime, like they're not, they're just straight not a monopoly. They are
a monopoly
in
an industry, right? Exactly, they're a monopoly in an industry that isn't. It's part of it. They have a monopoly in physical stores where you rent a physical movie.
Yes.
And that is a subsection of I want to watch a movie. And because right. it's only a subsection, it's not a monopoly.
Right.
Well, but I would argue that Staples and Office Depot aren't. Because all the places that I've worked, that's not who they order their supplies from.
Actually, and the flip side is that the reason it was blocked had nothing to do with normal people. The monopoly had nothing to do with if, you know, any of the six of us wanted to go buy a stapler.
Right.
It was the fact that, like, if it, and it actually had very little to do with the supplies, much as the printing as well. But the thing is, like, if, like, Yum Food Corporation, who yep. controls Pizza Hut and KFC and Taco Bell, like, they're all this one umbrella.
Yeah.
They get all of their printing done by Staples.
Right.
All of it.
Sure.
So Staples makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year printing Taco Bell and KFC menus and hats and shirts sure. and posters and everything. And so that's what they were worried about,
right.
was that. But so like I said, yeah, it's the corporate stuff more than the individual people. But.
It's interesting. But
yeah, no, you're right. Like the Family Video thing.
Yeah, like that's the thing. And like at the end of the day,
I figure out. By the way, this is just an interesting thing that Family Video still exists, and they all seem like there's always people in the Family Video.
Well, they're always near residential, and they still have a good selection. If you want to go on, like if you want to, you can't rent Star Wars. You can only buy Star Wars. So
yeah.
people could go to Family Video and rent Star Wars. Disney doesn't let their stuff get rent.
We were going to watch John Wick, and I had the option to pay $10 to buy John Wick online. Or go to Family Video and spend $1.50 to rent it for the night. And I just wanted to watch John Wick once.
Well, and so now they're doing stuff that'll tie in. This will actually help things like Family Video. Because I was at a store and they had a Redbox. And we were looking at the Redbox and everything. And Trainwreck was there at the Redbox.
Sure.
And they had a big like star on it that said, guaranteed not on Netflix for 3 years.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's like some contract thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That they, I don't know if Redbox specifically paid. Like, I don't know how it was, yeah. but it was this big thing, like, right on it, because it was their big header above the Redbox, and it said, not on Netflix for at least 3 years.
Wow.
Well, that's one thing that I've noticed about Netflix, is it has less recent stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's often, not... oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oftentimes, when I browse my Netflix collection, or not collection, but the Netflix library, I will constantly ask myself, why am I paying for this?
If it was not for the fact I watch so many TV shows on Netflix, yeah. I wouldn't have Netflix, but I am a big TV person, so that's what I get. I watch, for every 10 TV shows I'll watch maybe one movie, if that. Or a comedy special or something
like that. And I have something on Netflix. Special. Like, Netflix is my, like, oh, I don't really have anything to do today. Oh, let's go look at my queue of 30 things that I saved up on Netflix to watch someday. Well, like...
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, and I rewatch things on my iPad all the time. Like, I watch, to fall asleep, I either watch Futurama or Family Guy every single night.
Yes, yes, you do.
And so I would have to...
the sadness in Jeremy there is pretty good.
Well, okay, so, like, there's three kinds of people in the world, right? There's people that like to fall asleep in a quiet room, there's people that like to fall asleep to a noisemaker, and there's people that like to fall asleep to a TV show. And I think the most opposite on that scale are silent and TV show, and I, my whole life, have fallen asleep in a silent room... And Katie falls asleep to TV. So, like, that's just a difference of opinion that we have.
Yeah.
The problem is that even when something's keeping me awake, that means it takes me 15 minutes to fall asleep. And when Katie is actively helping to fall asleep, it still takes her an hour and a half, so I just lose that argument every time.
Sure.
Because I'm like, but it's an extra 10 minutes I'm awake. And she's like, well, it's an extra hour and a half I'm not. Okay, you win.
You should get a baboon attack noise machine.
No. We actually bought a noise machine. But it doesn't help. It
did it have baboon attack?
It did not have baboon
attack. That's your problem.
Yep. It had thunderstorm, which I like. Thunderstorm's nice.
That's different. That's like an environmental thing you grew up with. But Amanda and I are the same way, where I'm a silent sleeper and she's a noise person. But the thing that...
Someone banging a drum.
Exactly. She doesn't like
so
that.
So relaxing.
Setting vodka bottles up straight in the living room.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Well, I like balance them on the edge of the couch.
Make yourself snore. That way you can fall asleep in the quiet and then become her noise machine.
I don't think that.
I snore and it doesn't help for Katie.
That's
for some reason.
A good idea. It has to be a certain sound. That's not
the
it.
The sound of death snort is not it.
Hey, my snore is amazing.
It's amazingly loud. That's true.
Have you tried like earbuds or headphones?
If cancer could make a sound, it would be your snoring.
Well, like, Andy says my snoring's not that loud. He's never woken up to it. And he's
because I'm wearing earphones. All right, I've got earplugs.
That's true.
When we travel, Brian usually stays in the same room as us, and he really likes to not fall asleep with sound, and then him and I get into a big fight about
That's
it.
That's true.
So I now have purchased headphones.
And I
can, just for when we're on trip. Yeah. Bear in mind, she doesn't use them at home. Just when she's sharing a room with Brian.
And we have to have a race because we have to be asleep before Jeremy, because once he falls asleep, we can never fall asleep. So he can't even come to the room sometimes for another half an hour after we go to bed.
Like, they'll be like, we're going to go to bed. And I was like, oh, all right, I guess I'll call it an evening. They're like, no, go play like another game of War Machine. Like,
you're not allowed back.
We don't love you.
Well, because I have to fall asleep before Brian can fall asleep, and then Brian has to fall asleep before you fall asleep.
It's a complicated system.
Why do you have to fall asleep?
It's a system.
Because I still have the iPad on, and it's so
the light of the screen bothers Brian enough.
Oh, so it has to time out and have the light go off.
And then Brian can fall asleep.
I need to be in complete darkness and sadness, and then I can fall asleep. And then it works.
Isn't your life complete darkness and sadness?
Well, you know, it's
only when he closes his eyes.
Well, I remember one of the biggest fights we usually had was like over sound or something.
It was the so we were at, I don't even remember which town we were in. We were at some little podunk hotel. Like, it was a super podunk hotel. And I did my usual, we were in Iowa. We were in Des Moines.
It was Iowa or
it was
Illinois,
one of the hotels there in Des Moines. Somewhere. So anyway, I did my usual, like, stay at the War Machine tournament, like, an hour and a half later. And I come back to the room, and these two are very nearly physically attacking
I thought,
each other.
No, it was a morning fight.
It was a morning fight.
We didn't leave. Oh, we basically, we were in a 45-minute stand-up. We wouldn't leave because neither of us had backed down on whatever it was.
It was like, so we, like
I don't know, but you had, like, the TV was, like, super loud. Like the alarm volume. Clock was going off.
It was all sorts of things were happening.
Literally every sound, like, we brought a laptop. So they had the laptop doing something at full volume, the TV at full volume, and the alarm clock at full volume, all going off in the room, and I'm just like, what is going on?
For like 45 minutes.
And then you walk in, and Brian said, Jeremy, you get your dog on a leash.
that's that story?
No. Thank God, you know, you guys always end up getting in a room without me, and I'm very glad.
And now you're so glad.
Holy cow.
No, the dog on a leash thing, so when Katie and I were first dating, this was back quite a while ago, we were already friends with Jordan. And Jordan didn't have a girlfriend, but had liked Katie before Katie and I started dating.
Sure.
He was a little weird about it at the time still. He's gotten over it now. But so we went over to Jordan's place.
He's like, thank God.
He
dodged a bullet. So we go over to play Axis and Allies for the afternoon at Jordan's place. Because him and I had apartments in the same apartment complex. And so it's me and Katie and Jordan and two other friends of ours. And the two other friends of ours are like the opposite of gamers.
Okay.
The opposite. They told me they thought Pandemic was physically unwinnable. Because them and their group of friends had never won it. And they played it a bunch. Like, they're really bad gamers. So we sit down to play, and Katie's like, I want to be on Jeremy's team. And I was like, all right, that's fine. And then she's like, let's be the Axis. And I was like, okay. So we were just, it's Axis and Allies. So we're like 3.5 hours in, and it's been 3.5 hours of us just, like, anally raping Jordan and his two non-committed teammates.
Well, okay, so one of them was another girl, and they kept telling her what to do, and so I got up on, like, my feminist pedestal about that she can make her own decisions. She doesn't need to listen to them.
She doesn't need a man.
And by the way, Jordan, if you were good at this game, maybe you wouldn't be losing so hard. And by the way, did I mention it because...
You're losing to a girl.
Because he's a little bit sexist.
He's a little bit sexist.
He's a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
And Jordan turns to me and says, if you don't get your dog on a leash, I won't be responsible for my actions.
Wow!
And the best part was, Jordan and I were friends first.
They've been friends for like 2 years before I even met Katie. Wow. And so, like, and Katie and Jordan had both been drinking, like, because we were playing Axis and Allies all day. Like, we were watching Game of Thrones while playing Axis and Allies while drinking all day.
This was that recently? It was when Game of Thrones existed?
It was the first season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, man. So 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe. But, like, so I was like, guys, I'm going to be the adult here, and I'm going to just separate the two of you. Because this situation is getting out of control.
When Jeremy has to be the adult in the situation, you know your situation is
really downhill. So I took Katie home. We went back to my apartment. We hung out, and then she went home or whatever. And, like, the next morning, Katie wakes up, and she's like, I don't really remember leaving Jordan's yesterday. And I was like, oh, yeah, you were really drunk, and he was really rude. You were really upset. And so she calls up Jordan to apologize. He refuses. He doesn't answer his phone. So she leaves a voicemail. She's like, hey, I don't know what I did last night. I wanted to apologize. I wasn't too much a jerk. 3 months later, him and Katie started talking again. He literally ignored her. While we were actively dating, and he was my best friend at work at the time, he did not speak to Katie for 3 months.
Now I know how to make him not talk to me for 3 months.
I think he has to tell you to get your dog on a leash.
No,
he has to tell my husband to get his dog on a leash.
Or he could tell you that about Raylene, which also would also.
No, because he talked to you.
Oh, yeah.
he talked to you.
What you do is you beat him at a game and then tell him how terrible he is at a game. And then maybe if he's a little bit smarter. All right,
can I borrow somebody's Haley one?
If you really force Storm,
but you actually have a dog now, so now it's all. Confusing.
So my dog needs to play Haley Wong.
Yeah, it's your dog.
And beat her and just be like, burr, 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 burr. I'm like, Jordan, my dog fucking beat you.
That would be a good thing to fill. So even a puppy came in with Haley Wong. Just Arya just all like,
poor Arya.
I did
Arya.
Arya.
Oh, no, sorry.
I know.
Kaya.
Kaya.
That's my anecdote. I'm telling an anecdote.
Okay, go ahead.
I forgot about that anecdote, but now it's an anecdote.
Tell an anecdote.
Anecdote. Anecdote.
It's your
that
story.
Was a really good anecdote.
Wow, good anecdote.
It's a good word. We all said anecdote. I hope, by the way, go back in time 5 minutes and let me tell you that our drinking game for the day is drink every time one of us says anecdote.
The best part is yesterday, drunken Jeremy
hey,
consistently calling Keith's daughter Arya.
I did not.
Oh, you did. You did.
Damn it.
Almost all the time.
To be fair, I didn't know her name until last night.
Oh.
I've heard her name 5 times. I forget it.
Aurora.
It's Aurora.
It's Aurora. Well, they call her Rory, which is less likely for me to slip
into
Arya.
She's named after the Disney character, by the way.
Yeah,
she's not one
she
named. I'm just throwing out there.
I had a friend who had a child recently who did the same thing. He named him Alistair, and that was the only caster he played. He tried to sell it off like it wasn't for that.
I mentioned him to Professor Lestar. I'm like, oh, Professor Lestar is named Aurora. He's like, really? Damn it. Who was first? I'm like, I honestly don't know, Keith. I honestly don't know. But I think Lust is named after the War Machine one.
That I don't know.
But that ties into, so I got a puppy on Thursday.
Yes, you did.
Puppy! If anybody asks, it's a Husky Lab mix. You know.
For apartment reasons.
It's the truth. It's totally a Husky Lab mix. I don't know. If my renter listens to this.
Just random podcast. Like, oh, like one of my tenants is on this.
Oh, the Swedish Fish?
No, go away.
Anyway.
I am successfully raided.
So we get the puppy, and she's adorable, and she's the best, and she goes, bark, 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 and I cuddle her, and she sleeps, and it's amazing, and she looks like a polar bear. And so I decide I'm not going to name her, because I will name her. First of all, Raylene almost had a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I'm a huge fan of the tick.
Right.
And so every time we go to the zoo and we see the capybaras, who I love capybaras, I always mention to Raylene, you know, funny trivia, capybaras are the only type of dog that can talk. Tick reference, in case none of you are getting it, and that's fine that none of you got it. But the point is, he meets a capybara. He's really head wounded at the time, so he hallucinates it talking, and so he names it Speak, because it can. So Raylene said, I don't know why we're even thinking about names. We all know we're going to name it Speak. And right. So I'm like, well, that's fucking a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's no way I don't name it Speak now. But we get the dog, and I said, no, I'm not going to name it, because I'll either name it Speak, or I'll name it after a War Machine or Hordes character, because I'm a gigantic goddamn nerd.
True.
So I step out of the naming convention. Mm-hmm. And then Raylene is
you're
looking...
such a nerd. You haven't seen. You're the only person here who hasn't seen Star Wars.
Yeah, by the way.
I'm just saying.
Nerd card.
Yeah, I mean, it's been out for a long time.
Every single showing that wasn't 3 in the morning was sold
out. And what did I say? I said, I'll go with you to the 3 o'clock showing.
You told me that the next day.
I told you that. My response
when
was
I
immediate.
Told you that, I told you that like 8 in the morning.
Oh,
I was referring to the previous night's 3 in the morning show.
I would have went.
I managed to get Katie and I tickets 4 days before it released.
4 days.
For Saturday morning.
When I saw it on not on Friday when I was there were seats open next to me.
See, that's the thing with the reserved seating is people buy them and then if they don't show up, like you can't.
We hit
day of, you know.
The one I bought was reserved seating and there were tons of seats open when I bought it online.
Right, and that's my point is I can't buy those tickets because they're reserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. My point is there were a bunch available on Monday morning when I ordered because I bought Katie and I's.
Yeah,
on
but you
Monday
bought them 4 days
Saturday.
Early. I didn't.
I did
that early.
I did do that.
But anyway,
point
you're
is,
terrible
I bowed
nerd.
Out.
Okay.
I think you're the only one who hasn't heard the story yet, so I'll say it to you, because they've all heard it already, so they're giving me vacant stares.
Yeah, this is your...
So answer. You'll be my audience proxy.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm going to bow out of it. So Raylene starts looking at ideas, and we're talking about, you know, different languages for snow, or what, you know, the Inuits call the polar bear Nanook, maybe whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so she goes on a website that's literally just names for white dogs. It's the whole website is just, that's all it is. And she comes across one that turns out to be complete bullshit, because I've looked it up afterwards in Google Translate and whatnot, but it claims that Kaya is Japanese for pure.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees that, and so she and her daughter start calling the dog Kaya, and I'm just biting my tongue over here.
Especially when it should be
Laris. We called our white German Shepherd Shadow because it doesn't make sense for a white.
Irony.
Yeah.
Well, White Shadow. That was the TV show in the 70s about the basketball coach.
Yeah.
Mary.
It was. Don't make that face. I believe you. You don't know your 1970s sports television
show? There
you
go. Yeah. That's appropriate.
That is appropriate.
Snowball.
Mary's cat's name was Snowball.
It was black.
Was
black.
Kilo was one of the
Snuffles.
Names?
Snuffles was its slave name.
Was Kilo one
that'd
of the
be
names?
Nice. Yeah. What was the name of that supervillain in Marvel that was all about cocaine?
The Hulk?
No. There was one.
I don't know.
That literally got his power from cocaine.
I think you're confused with the Dallas Cowboys.
Speaking of Marvel, so we saw the trailer for Civil War when we went to go see Star Wars.
That's true.
And it occurred to me that if you didn't already know what the plot of that movie was supposed to be, the trailer gives no indication of what the plot is.
Which is cool.
It really doesn't. It's like Captain America hates Iron Man. Yeah. I don't know why. Boy,
yeah,
that's weird.
For some reason.
Weren't they friends like just a minute ago in the last movie?
As long as a DC character. And his name is Snowflame.
Snowflame. That would have been
amazing.
That would
have been amazing. Can
somebody actually just messaged Snowflame.
Yeah.
They beat you to it.
They did beat me to it.
Good job. Good job, non-nucleodonic. Whatever.
Look at that guy. It's like Ricardo Montalban with a white wig. He's powered by cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Check out Snowflame.
He looks
so
like
so that's one of DC's edgy characters, right?
Yeah.
Edgy. Yeah.
Well,
he was the villain. It's not like he was the hero and he did.
No, but I mean, he's like an edgy character. I just don't.
Here's a picture of him powering up, and the heroes are like, stop him before he ignites. And he's just snorting handfuls of cocaine.
Nice.
Maybe he got a hold of some PCP, and that's where he gets his.
I mean, to be fair, that sounds like a kind of a fun day.
That does sound like a great way to power up.
It's a Tuesday.
For you, the day I did 7 liters of cocaine was, and so on.
No, okay. I think some of the trailers during the Star Wars film were really interesting. There were like three trailers of like terrible movies that Amanda got kind of excited for, and I was just like, "Why am I sitting next?"
Gods of Egypt, come on!
Katie wants to see Gods of Egypt.
That has to be a pain train.
Katie is non-ironically excited about that movie.
What?
I think it looks like it would be an interesting movie. I don't understand why there's so much hate about it.
Well, the new trailer is much different than the original. Yes. The trailer in front of the movie is vastly differently presented than the initial trailer.
Two reasons for a lot of hate. Number one, it looks like it's nothing but bad CGI overloading, nothing of any interest or import or plot significance whatsoever. And number two, the Egyptian people in it are the color of a sugar cube.
Oh, did they, like, 1930s Western it?
If it's just an action movie, then why would you care if there's any plot?
It's still nice to have plot.
Okay, John Wick had zero plot.
That's fucking bullshit. John Wick had a lot of plot.
No,
it had a very simple plot.
John Wick,
simple and
non-existent
are two different things.
There's a simple plot to the Gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
He took his eyes, and then he gets his eye back, and he goes and attacks
him. I guarantee there's a million too much plot to that movie once you get there, and it's all going to be convoluted bullshit that they just throw CGI on top of so that you miss the fact that none of it makes a goddamn bit of sense.
But it's Jamie Lannister.
Also, there's snakes that breathe fire and chase them.
Yeah.
That does seem to happen.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So. I think Jungle Book sounds better.
So we keep...
That was a good movie. I enjoyed that.
No, the new one.
The book?
They did not... Ours did not have...
We had the Jungle Book trailer. It actually looks really good.
The live action one?
Live action.
I mean, that's
is
that's
the one
that
where
you could
Mowgli actually isn't accepted by the village and then goes and has all his animal friends attack and kill everyone in the village?
I don't really know, but there's big giant snakes that whisper to people and everything's real-ish. Like a 500 foot tall orangutan. It's real.
Like Mighty Joe Young?
Sure.
The thinking man's King Kong.
I prefer Congo.
Congo.
Yeah. Amy, smart.
Congo is not what we call a good movie.
No. Even Tim Curry couldn't save that.
Are we close?
Even Bruce Campbell couldn't save
Star Wars?
That.
Oh, yeah, we're very close.
I don't know how close we are. I was just doing this in case we
Nathan's
were getting close.
Nathan's doing a preparatory... Heading out this.
You know my story about Congo, right?
I don't know your story about Congo.
I probably have mentioned it a few times. I was sitting there assembling models or painting, whatever it was. But it was when Congo...
Andy, we know you. You were assembling models. There's no way you were painting.
This was a long time ago. I was painting.
Okay.
So, but I was painting, and I wasn't paying attention to the TV, and a commercial came on for Congo. And I heard... the standard Bruce Campbell scream, and I basically looked up like,
Bruce Campbell?
And realize that he has like a 2 minute part in the film.
Yeah. Oh my god. If you guys have any of you guys watched the new TV show The Librarians?
No.
No, it's based on that shitty Noah Wiley film, right?
You go to hell.
Yes, it is
based on the amazing Noah Wiley film.
In fairness, I never saw it because why would anybody have seen those movies? Because
they're amazing.
They're actually pretty
good. They're very popular. They're really good. I've almost done with the first one.
They're amazing. Anyway.
They're cheesy. It's very cheesy.
Oh, it's very cheesy.
You gotta go in expecting what it is. Yeah, it's fine.
If you go in expecting cheesy Indiana Jones, you will love it.
Yeah.
So it's like, what was that one?
The Mummy.
The author sued them.
The Mummy was amazing.
What was the one where the author sued them because the movie failed miserably?
Oh, that was
Sahara.
Sahara.
Sahara. Yeah.
That movie, Sahara.
I love
Sahara. Sahara is so good.
But I enjoyed Sahara. Anyway, they made a new TV show that just finished the first season. And in, I want to say it's the third episode, Bruce Campbell plays Santa Claus. And it's amazing. He plays Santa Claus, who has magical powers and is amazing.
But Santa Claus does have magical powers. You
differently explain than the way. Okay, so like, the premise
as opposed to the normal Santa Claus who takes the bus everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
The premise is that Santa Claus is more of an avatar of goodwill, and so he used to be Odin, and then for a while he was Nicholas the Trickster, and now the current incarnation is what we think of as Santa Claus. But it's been the same avatar through all of that time period.
I feel like somebody else borrowed that idea.
Probably.
I mean, there's nothing original ever, so I don't know what you want.
But Bruce Campbell as an avatar of goodwill is hilarious.
How about Bruce Campbell as
anything?
As Ronald Reagan.
He's okay as Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. How about Bruce Campbell as Elvis?
Yeah, Bruce Campbell as
it
Ash.
Is way, okay, sorry, Tori. It is way better than Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, but that one doesn't count. That's not.
But that's what he just said. He said, "I doubt it's as good as Crystal Skull."
But Nate was talking about cheesy Indiana Jones films, and honestly, The Mummy.
The first Mummy is amazing.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That would have made $1 billion if that was Indiana Jones 4.
Right.
The Mummy is an amazingly good movie.
The Mummy is really solid.
And if it had the advantage of also legitimately being an Indiana Jones film,
yeah,
way better than Crystal Skull.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Mummy's so good.
I enjoy the Mummy.
I love Benny. It's like, you know, the Weasley little sidekick always gets it in the end. Always? He's just so hopeful he'll be the Weasley, because he knows he's the Weasley sidekick. Like, he's not deluded about this.
That was the movie to save Brendan Fraser, but it just couldn't happen.
He limped along for a while after that. Yeah, like, he was big after that. He squandered it with shit like Furry Vengeance.
Yeah. I think he just likes doing kids' movies. Like, he was in a lot of kids.
Well, you know what those movies do? They pay a lot of fucking money.
Well, that's what it was. Is he was on like The Daily Show, and like I think this was when Furry Vengeance came out, and Jon Stewart's like, "So this movie's terrible, right? Like, why are you doing terrible movies?" He just goes, "I have four kids. Like, they're expensive. Like,
I want to.
I would do Furry Vengeance for $1 million. Are you shitting me?" And I guarantee he got more than $1 million for that.
Yep, probably. Librarians is amazing.
I always think of him as he will always be the guy from Bedazzled.
Sure, Bedazzled remake, which was not bad.
It was a good movie, but that's just how I always look at him. It's like you can't put him in an action role
he's
anymore.
He's Encino Man for me.
Encino Man for me as well. Yeah,
I think it shows my age a little bit, but he's Encino Man.
Definitely shows my age.
That's because of your age.
My brain is freezing on the name of it, but the one where he grows up in a bomb shelter and his dad is Christopher Walken.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Is it like Blast from the Past? Is that
it? Might be
called?
Blast
that
from
might
the be Past.
Like,
yeah.
That's the one that I remember him a lot from because they played the shit out of that movie on like Comedy Central a quarter of a century ago.
Well,
Encino Man used to hunt on Saturday a lot.
I saw Encino Man like once or twice when it first came out, and I haven't seen it in 20 years.
Well, it's not on Saturdays anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be.
they've changed their schedule.
Sure. Like, nothing Pauly Shore. Like, you think occasionally they play, but like none of the Pauly Shore movies are randomly played like on TV.
And
Son-in-Law.
Thank God.
You know what you don't see anymore that you used to see every fucking Saturday is Red Dawn. The original Red Dawn. I feel like every Saturday of, like, for a decade of my childhood, I could just turn on the TV, flip through the channels on a Saturday, and there's Red Dawn.
It's probably playing on WGN right now.
For me, it was Clint Eastwood.
Or TBS.
There's always, at any point in time, a Clint Eastwood movie playing on cable.
I remember Comedy Central playing PCU an inordinate
frequency. Oh, man.
But it might as well have been a TV show. Like, every Tuesday they play PCU.
They could play that 24 hours and I'd love the shit PCU. Out of it.
Can you blow me where the Pampers is?
That was, like, the movie that solidified George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic mm-hmm. into my head. Just, like, I will never forget the name of that band ever again.
Yeah.
Not Crazy Black Guy with America Dreads.
Katie's confused.
Sanskrit, it's the best I got. Yep. Take it or leave it.
You're too young. Movie classic.
Actually, it was Undercover Brother.
Just watch Alf, you'll be fine.
Alf is legitimately good. Like, I'll
you like this. Zooey Deschanel. It's in control Will Ferrell. It's a focused Will Ferrell with a great
is
Zooey.
Is it a focused Will Ferrell?
No. He's,
I mean, it's better.
Well, it's a different style of his.
He is not the he's the center of the movie, but the other actors and characters are so amazing that he's just is there to link them together. Do you like legitimately, like in a sappy way, like Christmas movies? No, I mean, that's a serious question. That wasn't like a trap or a joke. Like, do you enjoy like the spirit of Christmas? Oh, you know, heart, you know, warming.
The first 15 minutes might be hard to get through, but
yeah,
it starts off a little wonky.
I got the warmth in the heart, you know, with the whole park sequence and you know, the sleigh's got to fly and everything when I saw this movie in the theaters. I'm not even going to lie. It was a very sappy, heartwarming moment. The first 15 minutes, like, the North Pole sequences, to me, are amazing as a film aficionado because it's all forced perspective. There's no CGI there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing that they have, like, him three times as tall as Bob Newhart, who's riding on his back, like, piggyback style, and that's all legitimately shot live with cameras.
That is kind of cool.
Like, it's worth watching the first 15 minutes just to look at that and go, oh my god, it's impressive they did that with no CGI.
I know a lot of people these days are heralding Elf as one of, like, the top, if not, some people will say the top Christmas movie, but then they forget that A Christmas Story exists.
That's yeah, it's trash. Not the top, but it's legitimately in my top five,
seen,
I think.
I've seen, like, 5 minutes of A Christmas Story, and
Christmas Story is pretty stupid.
But it's iconically the Christmas movie.
It is a very iconic Christmas movie.
That doesn't make it a good Christmas movie.
It's amazing!
I think it's actually really good.
It's so dull.
The only movie that I really like is a Christmas movie. I like
it's
Rudolph
because it's
one.
So played out.
And but yeah. I like White Christmas with Bing Crosby.
Sure.
That's just like Elf. You'll like Elf then.
Yeah.
It is not anything like Elf. Although I do love White Christmas.
This has Peter Dinklage in it.
It does.
It does.
What do we...
Yeah. Call me an elf one more time. You're an elf?
Can we do something during the week here?
Huh,
that can we get a couple folks to record a Pain Train this week?
Why, you just want to make her watch Elf?
No. No, like on Thursday or something like that. Like
Christmas Eve?
Probably not.
I'll be a little busy.
Yeah,
okay.
I can't this week.
But if we could, I want to do a Pain Train and release it on Christmas if we can.
Of Krampus?
No, of us watching Christmas good. Story 2.
No. I will eat a gun before I watch Christmas Story 2.
No.
Have you seen the
and
trailer
I mean that literally,
for it?
I will eat a gun.
I decided that the last, like, the way that Krampus ended is actually good. It's what makes that a scary movie. Other than that, it's not scary.
I'll agree with you that the way Krampus ended was 100% the way it should have ended.
I didn't see Krampus.
I didn't see it either, but I heard it's basically it has the same vein as like Gremlins.
It's worthwhile seeing. Like, I know a lot of people when they first heard of it, they're like, oh, it's just some gimmick to sell tickets for a shitty Christmas movie, but it's actually pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that about campy shitty Christmas movies all that often. I think it's pretty good. It's a good time. There's a lot of good comedy in there. There's some interesting good horror and like a lot of good lore. I always like the background stories like that. It's pretty good. It's an amazing movie.
From the Red Letter Media reviews I've seen of it, because they did a review of it recently, which they also did. They watched all the other Krampus movies.
Oh,
jeez. Like Black Christmas, or not Black Christmas. What is it called?
No, movies about Krampus.
Just movies about Krampus.
Yeah, no, I know.
All the way leading up to that one.
God,
so
damn it, I'm blanking on it. I just saw like a Krampus movie on Netflix, like some shitty one, and its name, it wasn't Black Christmas because that's the slasher movie, but
yeah.
It was something like that. But
yeah.
I don't know. It definitely beats out probably the worst Christmas movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
Santa Claus versus the Martians?
No, this one is...
Don't say Bad Santa. I will punch you in the head.
This is a Killer Gingerbread Man versus Evil Bong.
It's it's Ginger Dead Man.
Ginger Dead Man, yeah.
You know who is the Ginger Dead Man?
The name, when he was talking, it sounded familiar, so but Warwick I couldn't Davis? Place it.
Gary Busey. Gary Busey plays Ginger Dead Man in all, I believe there's 5 Ginger Dead Man movies. Now, if you include the versus Evil Bong, which is the 3rd Evil Bong one, because there's Evil Bong, Evil Bong's Revenge, and then Ginger Dead Man versus Evil Bong, the crossover everyone was waiting for.
Yeah. It's just like this garbage, terrible, like, Skinamax movie with, like, even Jack Frost was better than that
piece of shit. Sold. I'm sold. I want to see this.
Yeah, I got 20 minutes in and shut that fucking thing off.
In the first Ginger Dead Man, Gary Busey just does like the voice, and then I don't remember in the second, but at least in Evil Bong, they gave the Ginger Dead Man like his teeth,
characteristics,
so it would look like Gary Busey.
Yeah, it's one ugly fucking gingerbread cookie.
Well, because it has Gary Busey's mouth, which is the most horrific thing on the planet, is Gary Busey's mouth.
No, it's like the real life Nutcracker.
All right, based on our time, should we move into our shenanigans?
Well, are we going to do recommendations?
Do we have?
Well, we have recommendations. Well, I recommend Star Wars.
Recommend Nathan watches Star Wars.
We all
recommend you.
I can go watch it now. If you talk about it for 2.5 hours, I'll be back.
Get out.
We'll just reenact the whole movie.
Yeah, we'll just tell you how it works. So
I will stay for you act. No, you have to act it out. I want characters. I want voices. I want physical movement. I will stay for that shit. Katie has to be BB-8.
He's rolling on the floor.
Hold your knee and just roll her, do somersaults and go beep, 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 constantly.
He is the best character.
That is, oh shit, I just spoiled your fetish on air. I apologize. I did not mean to do that.
Andy, you just went offline.
I know, accidentally did.
Okay.
I was trying to get rid of Gary Busey, and I took off the stream.
1,000 voices just screamed out in pain. They were like, they're about to talk about something interesting, and then I turned it off.
I'm leaving. I was going to forget my...
I saved them.
No.
Oh, man, this is fight time.
Katie, can I have some?
Yeah.
May I have some gummy bears as well?
I'll hand them over. Hold on.
No reds, though.
I'm hoping them.
I'll trade somebody some Charleston shoes for some.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, Nathan.
Do you like Charleston
shoes? I've never had a Charleston
shoe. Well, these are mini Charleston shoes, so it's a good time Charleston to shoe? Try them.
They're tasty.
Whenever I have a Charleston shoe, it reminds me of summer as a kid because there was at the public pool, they sold them for 25 cents, like the big ones.
Yep.
So I always had a Charleston shoe whenever I went swimming at the public pool. It's pretty legit.
Are we coming back online? Do I have to do something to pick it back up again?
No, we're online.
I don't see
you got to refresh. It's just when you lose it, you usually
when I lose it, I have to come back.
It was my bad.
No, but my screen's still black, so I was afraid I was doing something wrong.
So Nathan might be out of the building. I'm not sure here.
No, he hasn't left yet.
I still hear the door.
Yeah.
Right. We want to talk about Star Wars.
Put up the little tag, the Star Wars spoiler tag.
So we are definitely going into Star Wars spoilers.
So those of you that are still here, Star Wars spoilers are about to happen.
I mean, we could pretend we wouldn't, but it's going to happen. So let's not even pretend that we're not going to go crazy on Star Wars.
So, who wants to go first?
Why'd you eat one of my gummy bears?
I didn't. I ate 2. They were both red, so it's okay, right?
Uh-oh. They were red. Star Wars starts with the murder of Jeremy Shea.
All right, so the first thing that I have to say, get off my chest, BB-8 is my new favorite droid in any movie ever. Name me a droid that is more awesome than BB-8. And I think R2 was probably right up there before, and BB-8 beat him out for me.
I kind of like the droid from Star Wars: Knights of the Old Republic.
The assassin one.
No, the original Xbox one, like the evil droid who always wants to kill people.
IG-88.
Maybe I don't know what the fuck his name.
But you're talking about just for Star Wars,
even other sci-fi movies. Like, I really like BB-8.
I really really like the. I can't think of the robot's name. It's from Borderlands. It's the one that believes that it's a human.
Claptrap?
No,
it's
the one from the Tales of Borderlands. There's actually not from Tales of Borderlands. That might be
it's
spoiling hard or shush toward.
It's not from Tales. It's during one of the missions. It's right before. It's one of the missions where you go and talk to him, and he just wants to become a human.
Okay.
And so he's asking you to go get skins, I believe, so he can wear them.
I vaguely remember that.
I do like that robot a lot.
All right,
but BB-8 is awesome.
The cool thing about Star Wars, first of all, I think we all enjoyed it, right? Everyone here enjoyed the movie
from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It really, and when I was sitting down, I was watching it. My brain was like, "Please don't be worse as bad as a prequel." Like,
oh my god,
it's a constant thing. But from the beginning, like the performances, like the actors were allowed to act. They were allowed to like be people.
Yeah.
And the scrawl wasn't this obscure. It wasn't like we had to like get a you know figure out how to a trade you know agreement. It was just like simple. Luke Skywalker is missing.
Luke Skywalker's missing. The world's going to shit.
There's a new First Order of bad guys.
Yes,
and they're out to find everyone wants to find Luke because you know.
What I liked is it went slowly enough that I could actually read it because I read really slowly.
It was and. Fortunately, but unfortunately enough, when I got to the theater, I arrived a half hour early today, and I still had to take second row seating. But it was second row seating in the middle.
Well, that's not terrible,
though. Yeah, 3D IMAX at the second row seating in the middle is actually pretty legit. Like, it was an experience for sure.
The world is there. I saw one of the Lord of the Rings movies from that row, and it's like, whoa.
I know, I felt like it was the first time in my entire life that I felt like I could actually touch the 3D things that were coming at me.
I was very giddy through most of the movie, too. What's interesting, a couple... I guess I'll go on. I do have a couple complaints, which I guess I'll save till later. But, you know, just to start, the main act, the actress, there's Ren.
Ray.
Ray was the main, was a guy.
Daisy something.
No, Ray was Ray, the girl.
Ray's the girl, and the guy is...
Kylo Ren.
Kylo.
No, 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 the black...
Oh,
no.
Finn.
Finn. I'm terrible.
You're terrible.
You're terrible at naming character names.
I thought he was trying to come up with the other character.
Finn and Ray.
You meant Finn.
Those two are excellent, and they are the focus of the movies for the most part. And those two, they both pulled it off in such amazing ways as far as like you know being engaging and interesting and completely different. Yeah. And
they felt like they actually had personality as compared to the prequels with, you know, there's like a couple characters that feel like they have a personality.
The two of them are definitely the focus, but it's not just the two of them. I thought Poe was a really solid character. Yeah. Obviously, we already mentioned BB-88. Like there were several, like there were more than just two.
BB-88?
BB-8,
sorry. That's the BB-8 that's actually a bounty hunter.
They went to the old characters at the right times. They weren't really overused. Yeah. When I saw Indiana Jones' Crystal Skull, I saw an old man that was dressed like Indiana Jones and kind of acting like him, but didn't really seem that energized. Harrison Ford was really energized to me as
he
Han
did
Solo.
A good job as
like he really was. I mean, he wasn't. He really was all in the role. I mean, he wasn't just. He really felt like he was enjoying
the doing big. I liked him, and I'm going to be in the minority here.
You are.
I liked him in The Crystal Skull.
There were too many scenes where I just felt he was like,
I think
it
the problem.
A good script, though. I mean, he probably knew that it wasn't.
He might have just known it was a garbage script.
That's probably what it really truly was. Exciting, I mean, even Mutt wasn't really that bad in the film. It was more of what they made him do, like with the stupid rope swinging and such.
Yeah. I think in.
But. Yeah.
With Star Wars and Harrison Ford, he not only did he like sell the role really well, he sold Han Solo as an old wizened man. Like that was the big part. Like there was still that part of Han Solo that was there, but he had that like weird like I'm too good for you charisma. But he definitely had like those years of like fucking people over enough to where
it's been
like
30 years of shit for him like, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, 30 years of never ever. Ever even remotely testing out firing Chewbacca's boltcaster.
When he saw the boltcaster, he's like, Jesus Christ, it's like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah, but if it was like 30 years, he's never even went, like, I want to try to fire that ever.
Getting the two main characters together on Jakku was pretty interesting. When they're running for the ships as they're being attacked, they're like, oh, ignore that hunk of junk.
Ignore that one, it's garbage.
And then they turn to hunk of junk in the Falcon.
And I was like, oh my God!
Well, the crowd just starts. It's such a classic, simple.
Yeah.
People, I've read a couple of playing to the game had too much nostalgia, but too much fan service.
I think the fan service was perfect.
It was used as
like a plot device.
Yeah, it was a plot device, and it was Star Wars being Star Wars. It wasn't like I used Pirates of the Caribbean as an example. In Pirates of the Caribbean 2, they bring back every secondary character, like the two goofy guys are brought back. They reference everything specifically, but in Star Wars, there's callbacks and there's some fan service, but everything it was referenced to with okay maybe we didn't need a bigger star, a Death Star which wasn't really a Death Star I mean but it was Death Star ish it didn't
it
I mean
Death Star-ish.
But it didn't need to be a ball I mean it was kind of it was different but it didn't need to be that.
I mean I know they don't want to recreate anything from the extended universe but they couldn't have gone like a Sun Crusher route. Like changed it up
the Sun Crusher from the and that was my in my mind too. I'm like okay, I can't help but judge this against the Thrawn series because the Thrawn series is amazing and it's all good. And although the Sun Crusher doesn't come into the next series anyway,
the Sun Crusher is
a small ship that destroys suns, which is effectively because in this movie the thing sucks power out of the sun and destroys every planet in the system.
Yeah.
which is the same thing as blowing up the sun, destroying the entire. So same, you know, half dozen, blah 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 thing, but. Which is kind of a cool thing. Drain the sun and then blow every planet up. Although I think if you drain the sun, you pretty much kill every planet anyway. Yeah. Well, so it's sort of overkill.
No, no,
it
uses
the recharge, though.
Oh, the sun, it drains the sun in its system to fire into another system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't
recharge. The only thing there is, like, I just feel like you'd run into something along the way.
A beam that big that would run right through it, though. I mean, if it's hitting planets, if you're like, like, oh my god. I'm sure some poor ship was going, what the fuck is that coming at us?
Because it probably charges to the point where it needs to travel enough and then has enough to detonate whatever it hits. Like, it doesn't have enough to go through it completely. You run
into physics and coherency issues, but it's Star Wars, so I don't care.
Exactly.
There's a lot. All my complaints are minor. Like they obviously blew up a system, but because I felt like that if I would have read that, I would have understood which system was being blown up.
Right.
Because they call, like, there's the. They call them the Resistance, like Leia and those guys, and really they're not rebels because they actually they're still
working with the Republic.
Yeah, right. The Republic still exists. I mean, they won in
six. Well, I don't know if the Republic exists anymore.
They made some references. Well,
it doesn't exist after this movie.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
it existed at the start of the movie.
I don't know if they blew up all the Republic planets.
They did. They blew up the capital planet. So even pre-expanded extended universe, there's the capital.
Yeah,
which is where the Emperor ruled from in the terrible prequels. And it's where he was ruling from, theoretically, in 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
And it's one of the planets that cheers when they destroy the Death Star, the dancing scene at the end of 6. Like, it's the headquarters of the universe. And that was one of the planets that showed
blown
up. Coruscant.
I wasn't 100%. It seemed like that's what blew up, but I wasn't 100%. No, that
was Coruscant and its surrounding moons.
Yeah. Because the New Republic existed, so they had, like... Because in the beginning, people were like, well, why are they calling the Resistance? Because they won the war. It was just they were the Force working with them. It didn't seem like it was greatly explained.
It was not. I mean, they kind of just did brush over it, because... If they were just playing Destroyed anyway, there's not much point in doing a ton of character development on Coruscant.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, they're all dead and everyone they know is dead.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that is where there was... Again, I'm reaching into the expanded universe a little bit here and, like, some of the, like, wiki articles and stuff about Star Wars. But a big deal gets made about the fact that no matter who's in charge, you need Coruscant. Because trying to manage any kind of government that spawns galaxies is just nightmarishly difficult. And Coruscant's been doing it for years. And has the records, and has the communication line set up, and, like, it would just be a pain in the ass if Coruscant was gone. Yeah. Like, it kind of turns the whole galaxy Wild West for Coruscant to be gone. Like, everybody's kind of on their own in a big way. Which is interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they do much with that in the future movies, but it's an interesting idea.
Before we exit the fan service part of it, I think there was one part of that movie that could have made it, like, a solid 10 out of 10 for me, and it's really just, like, a 9.80... because of this.
Okay.
I wish they would have not used Luke's training droid the way they used the owl from Clash of the Titans when they remade it.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, I pick it up and it's a hunk of garbage and throw it away. Like, that's the only bit. I wish they would have traded that and made Matt Parkman from Heroes Porkin's son. It should have happened. Like, that. Like, he's going to restore his... He's going to, like...
That would have been kind of amazing.
Because you never, like, hear about the pilot's lives. No, you know, don't. It's like, it's just some... douchebag named Porkins who's fat who dies, and then his fat son comes back to save the day and say, I made it, Dad.
Yeah.
We survive.
That would be kind of amazing.
It would have been great. All they needed to do was just put Porkins on his shirt, and that'd be done. I'd be perfectly
happy. You would have been great, though, too, is if you would have died in the exact same way. They made it shot for shot of him dying the same way. I love the shot, the fan service things that people have made with shots of Porkins, like McDonald's cups and everything in his TIE fighter. Or not his X-Wing.
Lightsaber battling was so good. They did the lightsaber is a viciousness and even when he uses the Force hold, just the brutality of it just seems more visceral.
Well, I have a question, and this is because I don't understand Star Wars as well as you guys do. I thought only Jedi could use lightsabers.
Anyone can turn on. It's just a device. Only Jedi can use the Force to do things like block laser bolts and anticipate their foes' reactions and things like that.
Yeah, it's a prowess thing.
It's kind of like you just pick up a sword. Anybody can pick up a sword, but if you're not a fencing master, me picking up a sword and a fencing master picking up a sword are two completely different classes of things.
I mentioned to you guys, you know, did you, Brian, who's out there, did you see Daniel Craig in the movie? Because Daniel Craig is a cameo in this movie.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see him.
Daniel Craig, when Rey is being interrogated... And she tried because the big switcheroo obviously is Rey's the one who is a Force. Even though in the trailers you
all think it's a black guy.
Yeah, and it's actually Rey. You all think it's Finn. you know, she's being integrated. She starts realizing she can use the Force, and she tries to use the mind control on the stormtrooper. That stormtrooper is Daniel Craig.
Yep.
Which stormtrooper?
The stormtrooper.
The she's standing in the room.
Yeah.
With her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you'll unhook me and leave the door open.
I did not know that was Daniel Craig. That's amazing.
Yeah, I saw the trivia afterwards. Yeah,
that's funny.
No, every part of that movie. Like, I have never been entertained so much in my entire life watching a movie, and I also feel like I'm really, like, benefited because I missed all the spoilers. The only thing that I saw that was a minor spoiler was the movie poster with her with the lightsaber, because I also lived in a world where only Jedi could use lightsaber. But I also live in a world, and probably will continue for quite some time living in a world, where I have never seen episode 1, 2, or 3. So I feel like I'm very benefited by that.
One is worth seeing, at least.
The only thing
out of the three
I have a complaint about is that it's not that I didn't enjoy the movie in any way. It's just that it was the same movie as the other three.
Katie commented right after the movie ended that she felt like there was a lot of similarity in plot between this movie and 4.
Exactly, because
she's not wrong.
It's just repetitive. I mean, like, Kylo Ren is Darth Vader,
yep,
and Luke Skywalker is Obi-Wan, and then Rey is Luke Skywalker. Like, it's just the cyclical nature of things, and I think they do that a lot with, like, the family ties and everything, which is why they missed the fucking boat on Porkins.
Having and obviously, spoiler-wise, obviously the big thing in this movie is Han Solo gets killed, and he gets killed by his son,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
who is, of course, the Dark Jedi.
But he's just being, like, a shitty Dark Jedi. Like,
no,
He's
torn.
I have so much to say about Kylo Ren.
So talk about Kylo Ren.
Oh, man. Kylo Ren is man-baby incarnate. Like, there's just nothing about him that doesn't say man-baby. They picked a guy who, he is definitely older because Han Solo is, like, 60.
Yeah.
And
okay, well, let's talk about that first, because he doesn't look anything like Leia or Han.
Exactly, yeah, like, because
Leia just, like, went and made it with a Latino person, and then it was like, Han, this is your kid.
It looked more like Grecian to me, but
the point is, an olive tone, and both of them are super white. Yeah. Like,
I think
that's his reaction to the mask he wears all the time.
Maybe, yes.
No, he would be whiter. I've seen Darth Vader without his mask on, and he was pale, just, like, he was an like an alabaster baby. Like,
so maybe he has a reaction to the leather.
If anything, that means he has a lighter skin tone now that he's worn the mask, which means he was even darker before.
Well, it's hard. He obviously doesn't wear it all the time. I think he's only worn it for a few years.
He wears it as an imposing thing. And the Darth Vader, like, fin on the back, too. Like, he's just emulating a mythological person that he believes exists.
That he never met.
Because that's the thing. Darth Vader, in the end, was a good guy.
He was a good guy at the end.
And
yeah,
he's just like, I'll never be good as Darth Vader. That was his, like, thought. You know, like, the biggest man-baby part of that whole movie. Like, I understand it's, like, cool to destroy a console when you get mad because you don't get something you want because you're a giant man baby.
Sure.
That's a little forgivable. But then, like, when he starts having, like, the Force battle in her head, and he's like, oh, I can take whatever I want because I'm Violet Beauregard. And then, and, like, she starts fighting back and finds out his stuff. Like, not only does he get, like, pissy and, like, oh, you found out my secret, I'll never be as good as my grandfather, but he basically, the only thing missing from that scene that he did but didn't do was the whole, like, and run away. Like, and then he just goes and smashes more stuff.
And you haven't,
like,
seen the prequel. So the Anakin was such a bad transition to the bad side. Where this guy, I feel, dark side, he was what Anakin should have been in the prequels, as far as, because he still hasn't completed his training. He's still an apprentice, so you know.
Well, I know. It's just that he has no confidence whatsoever to do anything, and Darth Vader was just such an imposing figure.
Well, because he's playing dark side is really what it is. Like, when he sits there and is, like, sitting there with his, like, light flamberge and is, like, trying to kill Han Solo, you, like, see him all tear up, and he's like, I need your strength, and Han Solo is like, yeah, I'll take this from you, and he's like, no, I just needed your strength to kill you because you're my dad and I love you, but I can't love you, and I don't have the strength to be that badass.
Yeah, like, I can't be a badass.
Well,
but
I feel like he's just like he is. Like, I don't think that he has any light in him. I think he's just a petty little shithead. Like, because whereas Darth Vader was like, I'm big and imposing and I'm going to fucking do this because this is what I want to do and I'm powerful enough to do it. Like, this guy just always reacts in, like, the most petty, childlike way.
Exactly, because he smashes things. He'll, like, He won't force choke someone to death.
Obviously, yeah. The stormtroopers are afraid to be around him, not because he's scary and can kill you, because he's a whiny
well,
little bitch.
That's the yeah. thing when he starts like hurt you. When Rey breaks out of the thing yeah. because she uses the force, like yeah. those two stormtroopers come and they didn't leave because they were scared that Kylo Ren would like somehow in his massive man baby fit destroy them with his three pronged lightsaber.
No,
they just like shook their head and looked at each other like, oh, Kylo Ren's pissed again. We yep. better give him a timeout and just fucking leave. Like,
yeah, like
he's a giant man baby.
I don't think that he is. He just acts like a spoiled child. He doesn't.
Yeah, because it's not that his parents left him with some random stranger. Yeah. His parents left him with the Jedi Master at the time, who's also his uncle,
yeah.
and is going to become like this amazing, powerful force in the entire universe. But that just was not good enough for him. It's like, Mom and Dad left me here with stupid, stinky Uncle Luke.
Well, and probably all Luke did was try to enforce rules, and then he was exactly. like, no, I don't like rules.
Well, to be fair, he grew up with a dad who is very anti-rules,
mm-hmm.
and a mother who is both a princess and the leader of the active government.
We also don't know, now, Grand Commander Snoke? First of all, Snook is a terrible name for a villain.
it is bad. All I think of is like...
Snook is not a good name.
That's the general guy,
it's
right?
a spray
that's,
tan.
That's no, that's the Emperor. That's the guy yeah, in the new in the chair.
Oh, the guy in the
Which,
chair.
By there's rumors that he's actually the guy who used to... Because the Emperor actually had a train... I forget Darth, whatever the Emperor's trainer is. The Emperor's master was.
Oh, I forget Darth. Yeah,
there's rumors that he might be him.
Sidious?
No. Someone else. But anyway...
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know what I was saying, but no, he obviously influenced Ben.
Yeah,
Solo. But we don't know the interactions. Like, there's a lot of things we don't know. We don't know who dropped off Rey on the planet. We don't know a lot of these little things.
Oh, yeah, they say it's Snoke, not Snook.
Well, I was thinking whatever.
It's Snooker.
Yeah, but I'm still intrigued to see where that's gonna go. There's a lot of things we don't know that they get to fill into the next movies. Obviously, sure. The movie ends with just seeing Luke doesn't say a damn word. You see him for 5 seconds. It's hilarious.
Okay, wait. For the listeners, I think I told all of you this because it makes me question all of my decisions in life. I'm sitting in the theater with Katie, the love of my life, the light of my world, and they show that final scene, right? So Luke turns around and it cuts to the credits, and she's like, What did you say, darling?
I said, was that Luke Skywalker?
No.
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did.
Or?
No, I didn't say or. I just said, was that Luke Skywalker? And you said, yes. Who did you think it was? And I said, well, it might have been Ewan McGregor.
And then I said, Katie, who was Ewan McGregor?
But I said, but I didn't remember him ever losing an arm. And so that really confused me. And then it looked a little bit like Mark Hamill, too. And so I thought maybe it was Luke Skywalker. But in my defense, it didn't make sense to me that if, like, everybody's been looking for Luke and they finally find him, they're like, oh, this one random girl who we just met, even though she did play an integral role, you just go by yourself to go get him. That's fine.
Well,
that doesn't make any sense.
Because she has
a lightsaber.
She had force. I mean, they realize that she has force abilities, and you just
well, I know, but it Jedis. Seems like Leia would go too. Like if
well, she's
if,
such a, if Leia, my Leia said
Leia's busy.
No, if my brother had been missing for like 20, 30 years,
I think he's long like, I think
he
was like
he's missing less time than that because he established the Jedi training order. Then that all blew up in his face, and then he took.
Off. I got the feeling like he's been five, he's,
he hasn't been
years.
In hiding. I mean, he's just basically been hiding from everyone else. He's basically not. He's not missing like the First Order took care of him in a sense.
No, I know, but my point is, like, if I hadn't seen a family member that I had been looking for years and then I found out where they lived, I wouldn't be like, hey, Brian, you go see him.
Hey, if I had force abilities, you would say that.
I would not. I would be on the plane.
Something interesting. So Leia and Luke in the movies, if we just throw out the extended universe, it's clear that her, whether through training or aptitude, her force powers are not as sensitive as Luke. She definitely has them. At the third movie, like, they mention it a little bit.
They can feel each other.
Yeah, and then they feel each other and stuff like that, but, like, not really force powers.
Brothers and sisters shouldn't feel each other.
But it's interesting that in this movie, they made zero attempt to even pretend that she had any force powers other than the ability to sense when her husband died.
Yeah.
It was the only time she did anything force sensitive, which I thought was an interesting trait, because if Luke was training the Jedis, and that was an active thing he was trying to do, it seems like at least making an effort, and this is something that they made a point of in the book, so they're like, well, I have to at least make an effort to train one of the most publicly visible Jedi in the universe. Like, you should at least try to do that with Leia. Yeah. Because everyone knows she's your sister, therefore a Jedi. And apparently in the movie universe, that was just like, nope, no training. You don't need to be a Jedi at all.
Well, she might not have wanted to.
She might not have, but it's interesting they didn't address that at all. That was something it didn't bother me per se. It's just a different take from the books, and that's fine.
Is it
was interesting to me.
Is it really possible too that they never really made that known, publicly known, that Leia is Luke's brother?
It's possible.
Or sister.
Sister, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the other thing though too, is like, if Ben had actually known what Vader had done in his last hours, he probably wouldn't have been worshiping him as much as he has.
Not the way he worships him.
Correct.
He might still worship as a good guy.
Well, but he probably did know, because I'm sure that Luke told him that. But my guess would be that the guy who won him over to
Snoke.
The dark side,
Snoke.
Snooky, would
Snooky Stackhouse
would it told him that was all a lie, and this is how much power Darth Vader had, and he only said that because, you know,
he's afraid of the dark side.
Yeah, like. Yeah. And they lied to him about what happened.
That does seem like an obvious approach to lie to a young, impressionable child about,
like, yeah.
your grandfather was actually killed by your uncle because your uncle's a terrible person and doesn't understand power. And
or was jealous of his power or something. Power.
Yeah.
You
like, know it what seems I mean? Like an like, obvious
Again, though, I think this is a terrible Vader replacement. He's just the worst. Like, we need somebody who's got a little bit of self-confidence about anything.
Well, the thing is that we're looking at Vader, based in a sense, Vader in... at the end of 3.
Yeah.
We were basically looking at him being basically the whiny bitch in there. We never actually got to see Vader mature in a sense. We got to see Vader get up to his preteens.
Yeah.
I think once teens. He killed his dad, that was his big step to become more.
Yes.
Like I see. Rough. I don't think that's true. I think he'll just feel guilt about it.
No, I just. So here's
because,
my
no, because you. Because we talked about we this did. In the car. You. Because I was like, why did he keep hitting himself when he was fighting with Rey?
Because he's a giant man baby.
Because he's a giant man baby who can't actually do anything on the dark side, and Jeremy was like, part of the force of the dark side is pain, and so he has to keep reminding himself that he was in pain.
He wasn't reminding himself, he was amping up the pain to give himself more power, was my perspective.
Yeah, that's more of like a classic berserker type Viking thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense to me. I mean, he was...
See, so, and if killing his dad had actually given him the ability to be like, nope, I'm totally dark side, I don't think that he would have needed to do that.
No, I think killing his father was more of like a severing, like, not so much severing ties, but kind of like giving him the mental power to move forward type of thing. It's more of like a catalyst to being a badass.
I think that's what he would hope it would be, but I don't think that's what it would ultimately
be. Between his fight with Finn and his fight with Rey and getting shot by Chewbacca, he's also fairly fucked up by the end of this movie. Like, yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do as far as, is he going to recuperate? Is he going to get more like Vader suited up? Like, there are some things that could happen there.
And they really prepared the audience for his death, because they, yes. I mean, they're like, they put him in, they kind of dragged it out just a little bit, but I think they, because my audience was just dead fucking silent that entire time, because everyone knew as soon as Han walked off the bridge in front of him and called him bad, that he was going to die there. I think every single person realized Han Solo was about to die in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I think they did that on purpose so people wouldn't have heart attacks. You could have just, like, you know, you couldn't wash him and suddenly kill Han Solo. You had to give him a few moments to, People had to digest it.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, they had already said earlier in the movie, like, you have to kill your dad. So, who's talking?
Nate just said, I shouldn't watch this, right? That defeats the purpose.
It does.
So it was. I like the. I'm sad in that thing. So we have a stormtrooper leader, which is pretty cool. She gets to wear silver armor and has no value whatsoever in the movie.
Best throwback ever.
What?
The trash compactor realization. Like,
but the stormtrooper herself had 0 points.
And it's brilliant. She's a cool actress, and she had some good dialogue. I just feel like they show you this cool character. Obviously, she's a leader. She is a general. They did a good job of having, like, there's the different characters in charge of different aspects of the First Order. So obviously, we had these people carry on.
Yeah.
But she could have done something. She was in zero fights, didn't do anything other than get ransacked once.
I also kind of wanted to know, like, what makes a stormtrooper special, since they're, like, all programmed to be the same person.
Well, these are different. These are different stormtroopers.
I mean, like, they're trained and programmed from children to be the same, to function on the same wavelength.
Correct.
So, like, what makes... Is it just physical prowess, or what that makes them stand out?
Probably just whoever babies they can get.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
No, I'm just saying, what makes them the commander?
Well, even if you have... if you try and make everyone uniform, you're going to have people who just stand out, and I think that's how you get it.
Yeah, I guess, like, from a baby, like, you would... I guess convention would think that they would all end up functioning on the same level, except for the real man baby who becomes a hero, Finn. Like, that's what that's what I think Kylo Ren should have been, is somebody who starts out man babyish, like, oh, I haven't been in the big leagues, and then starts to be like, oh yeah, but now I'm completely really badass.
More babyish the entire time. But I think because that's more of a nature versus nurture debate, right? Because if you assume that nothing is nature and it's all nurture, then yeah, there would be no stands out. But if you assume that people are naturally gifted at different things, then you have people who are better shooters or better at commanding other people or inspiring people or whatever.
Yeah, I guess I am really siding with the nurture side of the conversation. Instead of natural.
I love it. In the beginning, when they get in the Falcon, when Rey's flying it, and of course, you know, and Finn. I know. It's still Finn. When he's shooting the old fashioned gun or whatever. Yeah. And just the fact that they're flying so close to the ground, and it was filmed so well, and when they're flying through the Star Destroyer.
It was a solid movie. Every aspect. I have some foibles that I would have preferred been differently, and I'll save those, but. Every aspect of it was solid. The introduction of Rey was solid. The introduction and who she was and a little bit about her. Like, we don't know a lot about her backstory.
Yeah, which is cool because we get to learn that in the next movie.
Exactly.
We don't even know who dropped her off.
Yeah, she's just a sold kid, really. I'm
almost positive it's Luke.
I pretty much.
There's like an 85% chance Luke's her father.
That's mine too. Yeah.
But you don't know that that's who dropped her off. Like, true. It could have been... somebody working with Luke, it could, you know what I mean? Because she thought she was waiting for her parents.
She thought she was waiting for her parents.
I would love if her dad was not Luke, just because it'd be nice to have someone with force abilities outside of the family.
It
won't ruin it for me. But I mean,
I think there are going to be more people.
I think she has to be related to Luke in some way because of the whole him and his father both carry this lightsaber, and now she gets an emotional reaction when she touches it. Like, I think she may not be his daughter, but I think she has to be related.
Yeah, it seems very likely.
Because originally, I was like, well, it's probably Han's other daughter, but I'm pretty sure Leia would remember being pregnant.
Probably.
Yeah.
So
you would think.
Unless it's like with somebody else.
It is interesting that she had such a repartee with Han if she's not in any way blood related to Han.
She had so much fun dialogue with BBX and Chewbacca.
It was fantastic. And her interactions with Finn are really solid. Like, I mean, that was one of the biggest problems I had with the first three movies is the actors that play Anakin and Amidala are both in other movies able to act. I've seen them able to act and put in a good performance.
I don't think I've seen Hayden Christensen.
Have you ever seen the movie Life is a House?
No.
If you want to just slit your wrist depressed but over a really good movie sometime, watch Life is a House. It's really good. And Hayden Christensen, he does the whole arc we're talking about. He actually starts out as kind of a man baby and then grows and matures into a better person. And he does a really good job with that arc. He has a romantic interest, and that arc is handled really well. Like, he can act. Maybe not in everything he does, but he can act. And neither of them does anything. There's no chemistry. They act like shit. Like, it's just terrible. I mean, even just from the first moment that Finn and Rey meet each other, they it's not like, oh man, they want to bone each other right now. They just have like a good chemistry, like a friendship chemistry.
Even Finn and Poe, when he's trying to escape, and Finn's like, I'm rescuing you. Wait, you need a pilot. I need a pilot.
Yeah.
I need a pilot.
Well, and after a while, I think like the connection gets a lot more solidified because I think that's the first person who's cared for her, really.
Yeah.
So I think she doesn't have friends. She doesn't know family.
No.
So I think that's where a lot of this like.
Yeah,
friendship gets forged into maybe a relationship too.
And I mean, they do a solid job of it. Her relationship with Han makes sense in the context of what we know about her and what we know about him, because he has this lost son that he hasn't connected with. He's got this hole in his heart for a kid her age.
Yeah,
and that's where if she is Luke's, wouldn't they be cousins?
Yes.
See, that's a little problem.
Which is interesting. it was an interesting problem for Luke and Leia too, as I recall.
Well, it was more of a direct problem. But, I mean, cousins in space, they're space cousins. It's okay.
They're kissing cousins.
Yeah, it's okay.
The other thing.
Wait, no, they're brother and sister.
No, I'm saying for if it's Finn, if Finn and Rey are related.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't think that they are.
Hey, I just realized this. You know who Finn's father could be?
Who?
Lando.
Yeah,
theoretically,
he
could be from anywhere.
That could possibly be like just, Lando's kid was.
You're gonna find out Finn is actually someone else's. You know,
that would be kind of hilarious.
Porkin's kid.
Yeah, but anyway,
the only hope.
The other thing about Ben is that he it was not attractive to look at either.
He's not. I'm much happier when his mask is on.
Well, obviously, as soon as Katie, well, because, you know, Katie, I'm always glad when Katie calls us out, because you think, sometimes I say, well, it doesn't always matter how much they make or what they look like, but Katie always reaffirms that that's all false.
It matters. Yeah.
It only matters about the money and the looks, and that's all that matters.
Power. Money, looks, and power, right? Yeah. Don't forget about power.
Amanda also had
usually if you have power, you have money.
Yeah.
That's true, but not always.
Amanda also had the same sentiment of not attractive, and I was like, well, he's kind of like maybe Edward Cullen. Attractive no. Because like he had the shovel face thing going on, and Kylo Ren's kind of got this like lumpy, looks like somebody sculpted him into a side of a mountain while they were drunk.
No,
he looks like George fucking Washington. Like really, he does.
He looks.
He's a Greek awful. George Washington.
I don't know.
He's just a hot mess.
He's not hot.
No, I think some of the speaking of looks and all that jazz. I think one of the great things about this movie is the different gender and racial roles that are played in the movie. Like having an African American hero in Star Wars is really big and important.
It is.
And having a Jedi that young women can look up to or little girls can look up to is super huge.
It's
like
a big deal.
It's just amazing how much that's kind of woven into there on accident or on purpose. I don't know.
And it doesn't feel forced.
It doesn't feel forced.
Not to be punny, but I mean, it really doesn't feel forced. It feels like that these are just more characters.
Yeah,
added just into people. This universe.
Yeah,
which is good.
Mm-hmm. Like I can't. No.
I like the returning actors. I had no idea that even Admiral Akbar is played by the same guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Nien Niub, co-pilot of the...
I saw him.
That's the same guy, too.
Wasn't the only one not played by the original that was a throwback was R2-D2?
No, Kenny Baker was in it.
Okay, I thought he...
He's listed in the credits, too, but I think they may have had two of them.
I know that Chewbacca had a double because I think he's too old and too frail
to...
He's
still in his voice, though.
Peter Mayhew has troubles walking, yes.
Because he's just fucking tall.
So, two things that I was really glad didn't happen in the movie was, one, when Leia and Han were talking about right before he left, he didn't say, I know, he just gave her a hug, and I was really scared that he's going to say, I know.
It would have been great. Would have been great the other way if he had said I love you and then she goes I know.
Actually,
I think that would have been a kind of super cheesy, but at the same time,
I think
it would have given me shivers.
It was really, really nice.
I'm gonna disagree. The one of my small foibles in this movie is that at no point does Leia or Han refer to anything scruffy looking. I just wanted one time, just once, you're looking scruffier than normal, or something like, come on. Like, I know it's fan service, I get that, it's fine, I'm okay with that.
The bar was exactly the scene for scene, the bar was scene for scene, like, the
I know,
Tina.
That I was know, second. It was amazing.
That was the biggest fan, that was the most obvious fan service that had no value, was the scene for scene.
But it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
And the other thing that I was... really glad that they didn't do was when Rey was talking to Finn while he was unconscious, she kissed him on the forehead and not on the lips because that would have been rape.
If they would have been playing baby, you know,
it would have been cold outside.
Then she could have kissed him wherever she wanted.
poor Green. Green has sent us like 50 million zappity rumbles, but we're not answering this week, sadly. We will do them next week. We'll save them for next week.
No,
we
I think
you have to resubmit them next week.
One of the big things in the movie that I really enjoyed that I think might be like passed over a little bit was not once in the entire time I've been watching movies have I ever been so excited by air combat scenes.
Yeah, they did one time.
It was so great. There was so much like this is really dangerous or like this is really risky stuff that we're doing. Like even the X-wing pilots when they were assaulting the aspirator, whatever the fuck
and all it was. All the fights were in planets. There wasn't actually fights in our space. They're always over. They were always on the planets.
When Poe and
Finn escape.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
There's a little bit that one.
But there's a little bit
but everything else.
Everything else is on the planet, which is
interesting. Other than the first one, you're right. Everything is.
The opening shot of coming to the rescue when you see like the kind of like the mist over the ocean as all the X-Wings come flying in.
That was
really cool. I wish I didn't see the trailer for the film. That would have known exactly what that was.
I didn't know what it was. I was like, Are they land speeders? Are they? And then they cut to X-Wings. I was like, oh my God, they're X-Wings.
No, because it's pretty prominent in the trailers.
Yeah, but I was careful not to watch the trailers.
The third thing that I was really excited about, because I just thought about it, was when she was running through the woods, I was scared to death she was going to run into an Ewok.
I was like... I thought you were saying a tick was going to fall. No ticks, no ticks, no ticks.
That's one of like the side effects of the new Star Wars movie is that we're getting new wonderful memes like the Ewok Care Bear meth. I used to be a Care Bear or something, and then it shows a picture of an Ewok, but meth something. I don't know. I messed it up, but
I'll Google it.
Yeah, so, you should.
Anybody else kind of feel sad for BB-8? Because like his first master basically said, I'm going to go back, but you go that way that far.
Yeah.
And then when he meets up with Rey, Rey basically does the same thing. It's like, yeah, you go that way, I'll go back. So both times, like technically his master has died each time. Well, I feel bad.
I really got emotions off because when he's talking between Finn and Rey in the back and forth dialogue, because Finn's pretending to be a part of the resistance. Yeah, he's like begging BBX to be on his side. The way BBX is looking at him, and even the thumbs up with the lighter was hilarious.
That was the first like unison laugh in the theater. That was also another cool experience being with like the people who like clap and like laugh a lot and everything. It was really great. But like the thumbs up with the lighter, that was the most comedic part of the movie.
It was funny, but it wasn't like Jar Jar dumb funny. It was like funny. It was just enough. BBX was so good.
BB-8.
No, I like X.
So
BBR.
I lost it.
He's not a DVR.
No, he's not a DVR.
BB-8.
I still like, speaking of memes, I cannot believe how many people are so trapped in Dark Ages these days, because like a line formed for the people who had their tickets that were trying to go and give their tickets to people. One guy came in and started bitching because he didn't know what the point was of buying tickets before the showing if you had to wait in line to give them the tickets. Another like 10 people all had printed out or on their phone QR codes and had no clue what the fuck to do with them. And then another person behind me was talking about really funny memes, and I was just like, my brain has melted now. And then behind her was another good interaction of like some crazy like mega Star Wars nerd who started talking to random people, and she just said, I don't know you. And I was like, okay, well, you've redeemed yourself a little bit, because he started talking about how George Lucas was a hack because he took all his favorite Westerns and crammed them into one movie. And then I was just like, go hang yourself.
One of my poor friends who was at the party last night, Logan, it started at 2 a.m. and went till like 10. They showed all six of the prior movies and then finally number 7. And he said that a bunch of people came to that in costume, but some of them didn't think it all the way through. So there was a gal who came in like in blue face paint with the long, like the Leku.
Twi'leks.
Twi'lek. And he said by like the second movie, like she was just a wreck. Just like face paint all melted down onto her shirt. Like just terrible. It was like she did not think through that she was going to be in that theater for like a day.
I heard from the conversations for there too, is like talking about like, pretty much through Attack of the Clones, everybody was asleep.
Yeah, he said he actually wished he had not shown up until the first three were done, because he could have just shown up like 6 hours later and started with 4, and he said it would have been perfect.
Yeah, starting with 4 seems the best way to go about it. I mean, I haven't seen 1, 2, and 3 really. I know I've heard them, enough about them.
I love really the Duel of the Fates fight scene.
There are a few scenes in the first three that I enjoy. There are just things that I actively truly hate. And there are things that I like, but I feel guilty about liking. Like, I enjoy the Yoda fight with Dooku, but it also bothers me because that's not how Yoda should move around at all. I don't care that he's a Jedi Master. Like, it bothers me every time I think about it. And then I see the fight scene, I'm like, that's amazing. And then I'm like, damn it, no, it's not.
He uses the Force to move his whittled bones.
Yeah, to move all over the place as a 900-year-old tiny thing.
I really liked how they handled the lightsaber fights in here.
Yes.
That they felt more down to earth. They weren't like, you know, just Shaolin monks running around with swords. I mean, it just felt like it was
trained, which is nice. Exactly. They made a point of that.
They looked correct. It looked like they were both kind of inept until that one lady was like, I'm like the Rain Man of lightsabers and the Rain Man of Millennium Falcon, or whatever the fuck those things are called. I know the name of the ship's Millennium Falcon, but there's a
YT-1800.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's a piece of junk.
It's a piece of shit,
piece of junk.
Garbage. My favorite part during the whole movie from one of the audience members is somebody started to clap and then nobody joined them.
Oh, so sad.
We had a couple of clappers in ours that not many people joined in. Like, right as, you know, a galaxy far, far away, somebody clapped at there and nobody followed. And at the very end,
Millennium Falcon got the most reaction. Yeah, Millennium Falcon was kind of in our theater. Which is, it's so iconic. It's such a ridiculously... Yeah.
They did a good job with it.
Yeah, fortunate or unfortunate, I think the biggest icons of Star Wars are Darth Vader and the Millennium Falcon. Those are the things that I think invoke the biggest response in people.
I'm glad.
X-Wings. If they hadn't shown X-Wings, I'd have been pretty sad.
I don't think that's...
It makes me think of Star Wars. That iconic ship.
Yeah,
design.
But that's not what makes it the These most are
like
iconic.
The top ones.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Some of the things I'm glad, though, from seeing the trailers going to the movie, I'm very glad it wasn't like a resurrection of Darth Vader type thing. Because they kind of made it seem like something like that when they're showing his burnt out helmet.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
such.
It's more of just like a totem.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't like a resurrection of that. And it just kind of.
Yep.
I'm excited to see where it's going to go because obviously 2017 is the next one. Then we're going to have an explosion of movies because we're going to have a Boba Fett standalone movie. We're going to have another standalone movie. We're going to have all sorts of
it's going to be a Han Solo solo movie.
Yeah, there's a
which I wonder how it's going to work.
It's going to be young Han Solo. It's all about like
Han Solo. Where the pre-books were.
Yeah. So we're going to see all sorts of things happening going forward. Okay. It's just going to explode with tons of direct. Because even J.J. Abrams isn't doing the next movie,
which I'm fine with because he does a really good job on the first movie of series. That's his strength. Mm-hmm. Like, he does a really good job on the first one. So, as long as they bring in someone solid for the second one, which I haven't heard who they brought in. But.
Well, I mean, it comes down to the writers and keeping some of the same race. I'm curious to see how the world, how we expand into all these Star Wars movies now, because we're going to see all these standalone things. And a standalone Star Wars movie is kind
of
cool.
The idea of a standalone movie is cool. I hope they do it well, because that's the one question I have.
We're going to see Han Solo back when he did the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs.
12.
I know. I said that on purpose.
I know you did.
I love that Millennium Falcon was like kept being stolen by different people. Yeah, no. I was like, who do you steal it from? Well, you stole it from so-and-so.
I am really curious to know. I know he wasn't really offered a part, though, but I am curious to know where Lando is in this world.
I was kind of hoping that he would like make a little bit of a comeback.
You
like,
can't have two black men on the screen at the same time.
In the Star Wars universe.
One at a time,
people.
You
can't even really have two women. Like,
well, one of the voice...
One
the...
scene where it was Leia and the girl together, and that was it.
Well, the actual... The CGI girl is a black girl. I can't think of the actress's name, but the little girl with the spectacles.
Oh, the spectacles?
Yeah, she's technically... I guess technically she is.
She's a female.
She's a female and a black female.
I am curious, because I haven't seen it done anywhere else other than Tron 2. But do you think like it'd be interesting, or would it be too over the top to CGI in a younger version of a flashback almost of like these old actors, the original actors coming back? Like, would it be neat to see a CGI'd young Luke Skywalker?
That's technology gets better and better, and it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrifying, but at the same time, unfortunately, I think they would run into troubles with voices. Like Leia does not sound like Leia.
Well, again, no. Maybe Jeff Bridges.
She's not.
She did not.
No, she does. She sounds like an old, smokes 2 packs a day Leia.
Han, maybe, but he was still kind of a little bit
more peppy.
Yeah, and obviously Luke we didn't hear, but we've heard Mark Hamill talk.
Anyone's got the voice thing down, it's him. I mean, that's been his life. But I'm thinking like Jeff Bridges, like he kind of has like a more traveled voice too. But in Tron 2, like the program Finn, he really sounded like it was back from the 70s Finn.
Well, that was with Michael Douglas and Ant-Man. That was awesome. The way that made him look like he was back when he did like Wall Street.
When he was younger, yeah.
That was at the very beginning of that film. We should probably cut short here pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. We're running very close to 2 hours, so.
Okay. Yeah. So go see Star Wars.
It's enjoyable. I think that in the vein of the things that there are other things that bother us, we don't need to talk about them, but I'm going to say it's going to be on the internet. There's going to be people that are going to pick apart the movie for the little things that they don't like. I think that there have been some big name movies lately that have kind of dropped the ball, and so it's encouraged that mindset in people. I hope that people don't go too badly that way in Star Wars. I understand that the Hobbit movies were a disappointment for all of us. All of us were hoping it was going to be like Lord of the Rings, and it wasn't. And we all saw the first one. Like, I actually enjoyed all three.
Greatly.
But I know so many people that enjoyed it when they saw it and then logged onto the internet and were, like, convinced it was a piece of utter shite.
Well, I think he just needed... he may need to make it like at most two movies.
But no, really I agree. Like, it could have been done way better. But my point is, I hope that that's not what happened with Star Wars, because I don't want to see the popular internet thing to be that this Star Wars movie was shit, because it was a solid movie. It was enjoyable from start to finish. Each individual aspect of it was good. The character development was good. I hate Ben, which maybe that's all they needed in a villain. Like, he's a shitty person that I hate. So Ben Solo is a shitty person I hate.
Yeah.
I mean, he's successful on that front.
Mm-hmm. I think he was. They accomplished what they were trying to do. I mean, I think they got that.
I mean, and so I think that he will likely change quite a bit. He physically and emotionally had his ass kicked at the end of this movie. I think that they will probably bring him back as a slightly different person in the next movie. Not necessarily a different actor, but like, mm-hmm. I think his character and his personality will change significantly.
They should change the actor.
Or give him a facelift. Now they'll just like a haircut and a facelift.
When you start embracing the dark side fully, your face goes to shit anyway. So maybe it'll be an improvement.
Maybe it won't matter. But yeah, like, I think that that's something that's going to just naturally happen. But other than the fact that Katie hates his face, like, I think that...
And his whininess. Like, he's just not...
It's who the character was meant to be.
Well, if he didn't have that voice modulator. But at least,
at least with the first three movies, like, the reason that he turned to the dark side was because he was a hothead. Like, he was angry all the time.
Anakin.
Yeah.
But this guy didn't turn because of anger. He turned because he was
seduced. He felt betrayed, and seduced. Like, there was that little bit of...
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit of wiggle room.
I will say, when Han died, I'm like, man, Chewbacca's going to kill a lot of
Chewbacca's.
People.
Yeah. I thought Chewbacca was going to kill himself, honestly, because I think they're like Ebony and Ivory. Like, they go together. Like, Chewbacca on his own is going to be really weird.
Yeah.
Especially since Rey doesn't understand him. Chewie, and now in the movies they kill Han. It'll be interesting to see if Chewie does what Han did in the books, which is just fall apart forever.
He knew that he had a job to do, so I mean, he did it.
He did do that job, but it'll be interesting. Like, Chewie just sitting in a bar drinking his sorrows away in the second movie.
All right. You guys ready to call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
All right, bye-bye.
Merry Christmas.